Yo, homeboy, you a fool. Yo, homeboy, you don't know what time it is out here messing up your mind. You know what I'm saying? This is Ice-T talking to you, boy. I'ma tell you what time it is. Yo, it's time for me to pump up the volume. No problem. The records revolve.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night, guys.
Hold on. I missed one podcast, and now you say it.
Wait a minute. And I wanted to start it off. Like,
okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Start again.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening. Wait, is this your podcast?
It's his favorite.
It's now my podcast.
Chris, don't fuck up the rotation.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
We're going in order.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
What's up?
There you go. There you go. Son of a bitch. Hey, guys. We're back to back.
Don't announce who's here.
I'm not.
Because it already says
but
it.
But, Sife, not everyone listens that way. Not
you have to read it before you
No,
quit.
You don't. Some people, it comes right to their phone, and they just hit play on the newest one. They don't even know.
Oh, well, I don't have an iPhone 6.
You don't even have a pod? You never heard a podcast.
I never heard this podcast.
We're back-to-back. Sife, you missed a great one with No Idea. I just want to say that. It was fucking amazing.
I'm not going to listen to it, but I heard it was good.
Yeah, where were you? You were stuck in a meeting?
Oh, no. I was in a meeting where a bunch of DJs were getting fired.
Yeah.
Who got fired? Absolute. Jay Medina.
Wait, y'all can name names?
So they're fired. It's already gone.
And Spinfo.
And Spinfo fired.
And
it's another shitty day. It's another reason that you guys are in the right part of the entertainment business,
yeah,
and we are in the shit part. Never.
Yeah.
Hey guys, Chris Rock and Questlove are here.
Yes.
How you doing?
Welcome.
How you doing?
This is awesome.
How you doing?
I saw Top 5 2 weeks ago.
Oh, nice.
And I sat there and I was like, God, there's so much hip hop in it. I'm like, fuck, we need to get Chris Rock for the fucking podcast.
Yeah.
How am I going to do that? And then
the only thing.
That was it.
I've been
yeah.
doing this shit for 30 years.
Yeah.
And
no, I thought about it before.
Like one movie.
Chris Rock, I'm going to show you.
It's not one movie, yo.
Do you have any other movies?
No, I thought about it many times. But I also thought this is a fine, fine movie.
Thank you.
I love the movie. I really
Thank
did. I have one qualm with it, but I can save the qualm for later. You just got here if you want to wait.
We know what it is.
Do you know what the name?
Wow,
do you know
that's a normal Rosenberg.
That's I do that all the time when I see
thriller?
People. I didn't understand the
baby. Baby be mine.
One more.
Yeah. It's like, why is Baby Be Mine on Thriller?
It's
a horrible song.
Yo, Mike, I'm a big fan, but hold on.
How did this make it? Anything?
I know. I didn't. I was very thrown off by. I was very thrown off by the title of the movie. So when I saw the movie,
what?
I loved it, but in a totally different.
Guess
space.
What the title used to be?
What?
Finally Famous.
Is that what it used to be?
It used to be.
And then Big Sean took
And I begged him. Like, nothing against Big Sean, but, you know, I was like...
So you didn't like the title?
The title confused me, and I loved the... I was like, oh my God, this is like an amazing romantic comedy about a kind of a Jace... A version of Chris Rock. Like, I just fucking... It was right up my alley. I didn't know from the title what it was going to be. Not that a title ever says that.
It should have been up your alley. Because I feel that the best actor in this film is the unseen spirit of midlife crisis hip hop. Like
wow.
this show is
wow.
made
he
for
went
this.
Deep.
Wow,
this show was made for this podcast, which is why I had to make this happen. Like,
wow,
what is your role in the movie, Aquest?
I just have the best seat in the house. I mean, technically, what title
What's
do y'all
title?
Slap
what
me
is
with?
It?
Executive music producer.
Oh, nice.
But. Really, I wanted to be on the right side of history because as...
Says it like I'm Obama or something.
I wanted to be on the right... Look, I'm
going to... It's true.
I'm going to tell you, everything I'm saying is going to sound real like presidential.
Fine, let's do it.
No, I'm just saying that...
Was it between me and, you know, Tyler Perry or... Well, like, who were your choices?
Well, the thing is that, you know, I felt after seeing the script, that you decided to become the change you wanted to see. Now, as an avid cinephile.
Thank you.
As a person, I see at least 4 to 6 movies a week.
Jesus.
You want to catch me
Jesus
out there?
Christ.
I'm at
Christ.
Any art house film in New York City, in Brooklyn, every week. Like,
I don't, that's amazing.
I don't have no family to go home to. I'm still single.
Right.
No kids. So I was like, fuck, I'm bored.
You do that after work?
Yeah, usually after work. Or I get screeners sometimes. But mostly, I love the immersive experience of going to movie theaters.
I do too, but
no, he left out. He's lying, by the way.
67th and Broadway, best movie theater in the city.
That's a fine.
I fall asleep in there. Wait, which one?
67th.
Do you mean the small, Jewy one or the bigger one?
The bigger one.
The big, nice one. That's a great theater.
Oh man, you ever sit in the balcony?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Is it a Lowe's?
I think it's
you mean with the chair stretch out?
Yeah, the Sony, whatever. Yeah, no, the other one.
No, that's 84th right. Street. You're talking about 67th Street.
Yeah, I fall asleep on 84th Street.
84th Street is too much. It's just
that's extra. I saw the movie at that theater though.
Oh, okay.
I saw it at 67th Street. It is a fine theater, and it's Upper West Side. Anytime I don't have to leave my neighborhood is when I that's my, the movie I want to see.
My spot is the Nighthawk in Brooklyn.
Nighthawk's fantastic.
Best date night.
Where is the Nighthawk?
Whoo! Y'all don't know about the Nighthawk. It's fantastic.
It's in Williamsburg. It's you got to get your tickets mad early. Usually on weekends, they do specialty films.
Wait, that's not the one they serve food
yes.
to?
Yes.
Yeah. They serve
that
food.
One.
It's food and drinks.
I heard about it. I didn't think it was real.
It's a real thing.
The best date night, like, you know, you take a joint there. The food is great. And Saturdays, they show, you know.
I saw
can you be on the low? Is it like a low spot? Like a low
Sif, who do you want to bring
it's
there?
It's low for me.
Who do you want to bring there, Sif?
You know.
Oh, it's low for you and your Quest Love.
Yeah, but I also have disguise kits. Like, I have hats. And okay. People in Williamsburg don't care.
Right.
Like, Williamsburg, you know, they might.
You're too big to be, like, it's like.
And plus, I'm black, so I come in like, a little bit late.
They
so.
Know it's right. you. It's like, is that Quest Love?
Yeah, the second you sit in front of someone, they see your hair. Like, people
it's
assume
like the
it's
hair.
You.
It's
nah,
the
my hair is braided. I only keep the afro out. Yeah. During like Fallon hours, I have somebody on 24-hour call.
Really?
Once you're over, how tall are you?
What?
I'm like 6'3".
Yeah, once you're over 6'2", you can't. You know, I remember I saw Shaq somewhere with a hat trying to like
trying to blend in.
Shaq, the hat isn't enough.
Like your hat, Shaq,
like a Seinfeld could throw on a hat, a jacket, and lay low. But
yo,
like
I could blend in. Look, I know where
Shaq,
I can.
Shaq, why are you wearing a doofy hat right now?
I know the peripheral blind spots that I can blend in. Is that me?
That's me.
That's fine.
I was my money was on Sif. 100% my money was on Sif.
That is my ring, though.
Exactly.
That's my alarm ring.
So before we get into the history stuff, I do just want to say, though, what day does the movie come out?
December 12th.
And Chris, you did everything for this movie?
Wrote it, directed it, yeah.
This is, you should be very proud of it. It is.
Thank you.
It is just,
I want to see it.
Feels really good.
He won't say it. I'll say it for him. This is the best thing that he's ever done. This is everyone who's acted in this film.
Yeah, hold on now.
Hey, I'm running on the tappy top.
Wait, are you dissing Pootie Tang?
I love Pootie Tang.
Pootie Tang is an incredible
Pootie Tang
movie.
Is my...
I did not know Louis C.K. People don't know that Louis C.K.
directed it.
Yeah.
Directed. Did he write it?
Did he write
we,
some
we
of it?
We wrote it together, so...
Yeah, you can't diss like, that.
Pootie Tang is
amazing.
Is my,
no,
it's my Junior Mafia album, man. I got like...
No,
that's why he's here.
Listen, I love
Nurse Mafia record, man.
No, I love
have one of them.
No, it's a cult classic. I like Pootie Tang. I like Nurse Betty. I like Head of State. I like all of them. I love them all. But I'm saying, as far as my whole point was the fact that, you know, as a movie, as a fan of going to movies, like I've been dying for the day for someone of my cultural background, I'm not even saying like, oh, a black person, whatever, but for someone to make something that I really relate to and really not lowbrow it. Because often with black comedies, yes, you gotta deal with the lowest common denominator of slapstick, and it's neo-minstrelsy. I mean, that's hard to avoid in any part of entertainment culture. Like, we're all drenched in minstrelsy. That's something hard to escape. But, dude, I'm saying I am.
Oh, I mean, you
like see, I'm primitive exotic. What other 6'3" wild afro?
I don't like the term minstrelsy.
Why?
Because minstrelsy means I know this is offensive. I know this only entertains white people, and I'm doing it anyway. That's not what you're seeing. Bad comedy.
But I
but
think,
you're not seeing,
and it's not for white people in most cases.
And
like,
it's
in the
not
main
for white
case,
kids,
everyone's talking
exactly.
about it's all for black people.
Yes, like you and Spike get on this minstrelsy.
No,
thing.
But I think
like,
no, I don't
this
mean
stuff
from
is made for black people.
I don't mean from a dignified standpoint,
that?
But
that was pretty good.
I think that in general, American entertainment is American entertainment is minstrel, like the idea of yelling "Freebird" at a Lynyrd Skynyrd concert, like at audience outburst. That's part of minstrel entertainment.
This is the part when Quest gets too smart
booing,
for the rest of us.
Booing. No, I'm just saying, I studied the history of minstrelsy.
Of course.
I'm just saying that booing, audience outburst, I mean, there's other factors just besides, oh, I'm going to put on blackface and shuck and jive for the man. Like, certain song structures, it's based in Southern entertainment.
I'm just crazy. A comedian, and I like all comedy, and I respect the game. And just because the Philadelphia 76ers suck doesn't mean they're not playing basketball.
That's fair.
That's the deepest thought of the day.
I know. That's totally fair.
They're playing bad. They're professional players. And let's give them that respect. At least.
Chris, can you get close to your microphone or everyone's going to yell at me? Let me see.
How's that?
But I'm just saying that he. I felt like he didn't try to necessarily go for the low common denominator.
But not even that. Even a step further than that. I would say it's not even. The movie just feels like your sensibility. I didn't feel like it was a black movie. I just felt like it was a movie with a lot of themes that are common to people who are into black stuff. But it wasn't a black. It was just a kind of romantic, funny, good movie.
Exactly.
I didn't really feel like that was.
And that's why.
Except there were parts that were so relatable for people who love hip hop. My favorite sequence, probably, that you will love. Anyone who's ever done a gig anywhere out of town will love, especially because it's about your character before he's super famous, right? So even we can relate, like the getting picked up by a promoter. That whole scene of him going to the club with the promoter is
masterpiece.
What? Yeah, and Cedric is
it's
brilliant.
A masterpiece.
Cedric at his best.
Everybody's in this film is at their best.
And also, I want to say another thing. Amazing thing about this movie is you got guest spots from tons of people. And every single one is somewhat significant. Like, they're in it. They don't just literally walk by. Tracy, he's there. Like, people are there for a little while.
It's not like, who's the man?
It's not who's the worst.
This guest star.
Don't even get me started on who's the man. I was so excited. I was like, Pete Rock and CL Smooth are in this
movie. Good soundtrack.
Amazing.
Good soundtrack.
Had what's next on the menu, for God's sake. So, Chris.
It's a great Pete Rock, CL Smooth record on that.
Yeah. That's it. It's what's next on the menu.
Chris, you can't get that anywhere.
No, I'll have it right now.
There's a great Eric Sherman record on that soundtrack.
So, can we start?
Hold on. I will not let this happen.
I'm that guy. I can't remember the names, but
come
I know,
on, man.
You know.
Put on your headphones, man.
Let's see what's next on the menu. Let's see what's next on the menu.
Pete Rock and CL Smooth had a 3 soundtrack run, and this was the best one of the 3, I think. Right there. That was a gem.
Okay, so since the spirit of this movie, and you haven't seen it yet, right? So
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, yeah, you have an idea. You have a theme for the podcast. I forgot.
Yes, they often debate on, I mean, it's basically this podcast on film.
But Sife's going to hate this part
it's
of
for
it.
For you.
Sife, you can't do lists.
I know, I hate lists.
So you don't have to do a list. Just name one.
Oh, okay, so he just has to bring one to the table. So throughout the show, you want to go over a few top fives.
Is not even top fives, just top ones.
Okay, top ones.
All right, best year in hip hop. What's your answer?
Oh, man, that's hard.
My quick answer is
always. All right, what? No. All right, and let's not say best because that's subjective.
Favorite?
Your
age,
favorite.
Age matters in that question.
Oh. I understand that.
You listen to the podcast.
I know.
I'm.
I get it. You don't like Dilla.
No,
you
no,
hate
no,
Nation
no,
of Millions.
No. I never said I hate
okay,
Nation
okay,
of
okay,
Millions.
Okay, okay.
You're low in theory.
I'm low in theory. He's Midnight Marauders.
Right.
Same feeling 3 years later.
I get
That's
it.
That's all it is.
I get it.
Listen.
And I respect that.
Right. And Questlove is like 100 miles running, and Chris Rock is like King of Rock. He's like Sugar Hill Gang. He's like
the Frost. Wait till you hear his favorite album of all, like. No. All
right, best year.
All right, so favorite year. What's your favorite year in hip-hop, Sife?
Only because I played this on the radio once, that 93 sounded right. 93 sounded right.
93 is very strong.
So Midnight Marauders, Wu-Tang.
Yeah.
In the same month.
Souls of Mischief.
Yeah.
And
93 is the one I always say. That's my default. I know. You're going to say 87, I bet.
I can't remember any of the. I can't.
I know.
I can't tell you what year anything came out.
One time we were doing last year when I was on the morning show, we did a 20th anniversary of 93. So I had to gather the records, and that's what made me realize every one of these records is smacking.
Yes. I actually. For me, it's
93. This is all just 93, brother.
86. That's what he's going to say.
No, I would think 87.
I play Out of Here every night.
It's a tie just to make sure.
I play Out of When I'm getting ready to go on tour for literally 3 months straight, I play Out of Here every night when I'm working on my new act.
Really?
Yeah.
Just to remind you how to avoid poverty.
I always drive to the club and I play Out of Here.
out of here.
That's
so
funny because Rappers Are in Danger is my KRS-One warning song.
That's your default?
Like, No. I just meant like there's that one song that I play that reminds me that I must never go back to poverty.
Yeah. Oh, shit. You
do
know what
you ever think about when you out of here?
Do you ever?
Yes.
$5,000 love seat.
That's why I got up
here
early this morning.
93. How do you remember this, Chris Rock? Illegal.
Illegal.
Classic.
My favorite
kids group.
Illegal moment. I hate to say this now because he's not doing well, but do you remember in The Source? It was a Snoop cover. And I guess like Hershey Look. What's his name? Jamal.
Jamal?
Yeah, like he saw
Hershey's Malik.
Oh, Malik.
Okay.
Where there's a great description of Malik laughing at PM Dawn's gear in the like they're checking in the hotel.
In what movie?
No, in the Source magazine. I used to rock braids like a lot of times in like 91. Cats used to be, yo, PM Dawn, yo, that PM Dawn, nigga, that PM Dawn. Sad as this, a memory bliss of you. Like, he used to rag me for it.
Yo, PM
and
Dawn.
I read that Source cover where I guess Dream Hampton descriptively, like, she described
them shitting on PM Dawn.
And the hurt look on Prince B's face as Malik was laughing at him, checking into the hotel.
No, the premiere of CB4, what's the guy? Prince whatever from
Prince
PM
B.
Beat up his girlfriend at the premiere of CB4.
Wait, what? That's the most peace. What's up with
the significance of it?
What's up with these peaceful people?
I know.
NWA was there. And they were fine. So Ice Cube's there. NWA that don't even talk. So Ice Cube's there. Easy's there. It's fine. PM Dawn is like, what the fuck? Fuck you, bitch.
Yo, what the fuck?
Are you sure it wasn't the skinny one?
Yo, man.
You sure?
Oh, yeah. Man. It was the fat one, man.
Damn.
It was the one everyone's compared you to.
Yes, there you go.
Oh, the man. So that means I'm going to let somebody LA down in my life.
This guy beat someone up.
Yeah. You know what's weird? They have like some actual decent records.
What do you mean? They have a few.
They've had hits.
How about this? How about this, guys?
They made great records.
PM Dawn was made fun of. KRS threw them off a fucking stage.
Yep.
Everything Drake does is related to PM Dawn.
I mean, they were the first emo.
That emo singy rap. They didn't do it as well.
They did. They have hits behind it. Their hits are bigger than
Happy's a PM Dawn record.
Yeah. Happy's a fucking happy record. Happy.
Guys, let's not
like
get
it
twisted. Because there's happy, good songs doesn't make it PM Dawn. Come on. PM Dawn sucked.
No, they didn't
they
totally
didn't
suck. They didn't
suck.
Totally
Yo,
suck.
Yo, wait, Syph, what year were you born?
They didn't
Whoa
suck.
No. Because, listen, all the questions that I'm going to ask is based on me being a fan of the show. And often I will text you like, yo, I don't agree with what Syph, you know. And you proud.
But Syph's weird. Syph's a proud, weird kind of hip hop fan. He doesn't have the traditional. There are certain things that the three of us would be like, that's a fact. Syph's always one is like, eh.
I love that.
I have a different.
I just got to know. Were you born in 78?
76.
Oh, yeah, that explains it.
Why?
Because I feel like 75 is the Mason-Dixon line between. If you were born in 74, then you would you would absorb
more.
Yeah, you would have got it a little earlier.
Different
and,
things.
And
just
whatnot.
We make it different.
Wait, okay. What year were you born?
71.
Okay, so.
But I don't count.
Yeah, you don't
I was
count.
Raised,
you're
weird. I was raised with but three, the, like, crate diggers.
Right.
You know?
But that's what I'm saying. I like Dilla. I don't suck Dilla's dick.
He's,
I like
it's
him.
It's a dick worth sucking.
I like
really?
Him.
It's a dick worth sucking.
I'm with you. I like Dilla.
I got no
problems with Dilla.
Dilla fans get in. Like, what do you mean? I don't love. I say I don't love him. I like him.
I get it, Dilla.
When I say Dilla,
people think
right?
I mean.
Yeah. See, the death hurt helped Dilla.
The death.
Well,
hurt
mainstream.
No, he was a guy beforehand.
To other people, to a lot of people who were.
If he was alive,
you need evidence.
If he was alive, Dilla, he'd be premier.
Dilla made the T-shirts hot. I mean,
if he was alive, he'd be premier.
That's still pretty good.
That's still great. You're still in the Hall of Fame.
Look,
but he, because he died, he's like has his own
my,
wing.
My evidence.
Exactly.
I want to turn this into a Dilla debate because then I got to pay for it on Twitter.
Oh, that's amazing.
If LL Cool J dies 15 years ago.
Oh, my
God. Oh, my
before
God.
Before 14 shots
so
of the
what
dome?
Are you saying about Biggie?
I'm just saying.
Oh, Biggie got major help from dying. There's
Biggie,
no really? Question.
He died too early, though.
Oh, of course he did.
Way too early.
I mean, he could have added even more, but there's no question that.
Now, his next album would have been Taste of Chocolate. That's what you're saying?
It could have happened.
Yes.
It could have happened.
Biggie's next album would have been Taste of Chocolate.
And he'd be on Girlfriends playing, you know, dating Tracy.
By the way, best line. That line in the movie. What was the line in the movie?
Oh, Tupac might.
Tupac might.
Be the the bad dark-skinned guy in the Tyler Perry movie.
Yeah, who beat up who?
Yeah, he'd be
Jill
kicking Jill Scott.
Kicking Jill Scott's ass? Yo, he said that line in the movie is so good. They're like, Tupac's the greatest. He's like, if Tupac was still alive, he might have just been in a Tyler Perry movie beating Jill Scott's ass.
So.
Okay.
Right, hold on, this happened organically.
Jay Dilla helped.
What?
This happened organically. I kept playing beats from kid groups. Favorite kid rap group. How about that?
There's only one. There's only Crisscross.
What do
no,
you mean?
No, no.
That's good?
Yeah, I don't think they're the best one. I think the youngsters are better than Crisscross.
You going to fight? Are you trying to pander to me?
Why? You a youngsters fan?
Oh, I'm from Philly.
Come on.
I'm from Philly.
Crisscross never had this.
This is their Naughty by Nature period.
They were kids.
They were 16 by here.
He sounded too old. You don't want to count it.
The guy's like,
well, they were. This was the Naughty by Nature period.
Getting a pension.
And you're gonna go right past.
You know what?
It's Little Man.
Here's the thing.
I saw Little Man. It's a fake.
I can't exactly recall the connection, but I know that there is a Troy Carter, Lawrence Goodman, youngster Gaga connection. Because
wow.
I'm Facebook friends with one of them, and all of his photos are like.
So he's doing something in the business, one of them.
They're working with Gaga. Like, it's Philly Troy is Gaga's ex-manager.
Right,
the one
course,
that's married
Troy,
to Troy.
Of course.
Somehow he's associated with them, but it's like anytime I'm on one of their Facebook pages, it's like they're in the car and like Gaga's in the passenger seat or they're shopping for her or like it's like
something's going on.
Running errands. Like it's I'm trying to figure out where that comes in.
Scythe, your favorite Crisscross record?
What are you rolling a blunt?
He's eating a grapefruit.
Oh God.
I'm on a strict diet.
Tonight's the Night, your favorite one, the favorite Crisscross? Tonight's the Night remix?
Redman.
I thought you loved that one.
I do love it, but I mean Jump is crazy, man.
I wasn't mad
Jump
at all
or
right.
Supercat.
But wait,
I'm not mad at Warm It Up Chris.
I liked Warm It Up Chris too.
I like Warm It Up Chris way better than Jump. However,
did you see that? Did
he
you
like Chris? Because that's his name. His name isn't Crisscross. That's why he likes.
Yeah, he goes. There's only one Crisscross. Chris and Chris.
Name Chris. They both Chris.
That group's fucking amazing, guys.
So we're not counting 4th and Broadway era Mobb Deep.
I mean, they were they
hit it from the back.
Come on, man.
That was so.
Nah, they don't count,
dude. Some for the non-believers. No, oh my God, how y'all sleeping on? How y'all
dope,
sleeping on something for the non-believers?
Dope songs, but I don't even consider them a kid group.
They're not a kid group.
Because they didn't really
They were 14 and 15.
I know, but I didn't even really.
The pressure. Gotta find a way to deal with the pressure.
Produced by?
Premier.
DJ Premier.
Premier.
So,
the Living Dilla.
Now, Chris.
No, Premier is his own.
Okay, now, Chris, can you.
Premier's in the Hall of Fame. Come on.
Yes, he absolutely is.
First ballot Hall of Fame.
All right, who's your favorite producer? One.
Probably Premier. Honestly,
old Premier.
Gun to my head, it's probably Premier. If I just you're like, say it. I probably because I can say Pete, I can say Dre, I can say Dilla, but it's probably Premier.
All right, Scythe, Grapefruit King,
old Premier, and then Dre. Old Premier, though.
You get one. You got to stick with their whole.
You have to choose
and their whole canon. You can't just take one good. The whole entire canon.
Then not Premier. Because Premier is my everything growing up. My favorite Premier is Mass Appeal. Money's growing like Matt. But then this Premier came in. We doing live New York City. Get it right.
In the industry. Where did you get these scratches from?
Like, they are.
Premier knows every acapella that has the word in the industry today. And I'm like,
New York get it live
in the industry.
Coming right in the industry.
Premier, my friend Quartermain, who filled in for you last time, right. Premier sampled him. Like, he finds everything. There's not a record that Premier won't find to scratch. So
Premier, like, you know what impresses me about his DJing? As a club DJ,
Premier.
He will always play the dirty version and knows when to censor it.
Every song.
Which means he studies the song.
Every song.
I'm amazed at that.
Chris, your favorite producer?
It's a hybrid. It's Dr. Dre with Yella.
One.
So just like
those records are produced by you, people forget Yella's name is on a thousand miles and running. Yella's name is on
one producer, one cannon.
They are
one
two.
Cannon. No, one
every,
cannon.
Every so, Dre record has other producers.
Yeah, that has other producers, but only
you liked only his Yella era the most.
Yella actually worked on, you know. I'm just saying, Dre's the best.
Dre, okay. You think so?
Dre's the best.
I gotta go with Dre.
You're gonna Dre's go with Dre too?
I'm sorry, Premier. I love it.
I'm Dilla, man.
Of course.
What?
Dilla,
best ever.
I knew Dilla.
He watched it in a different way.
Here's my one argument, and then I'm gonna end it. Dilla can literally. I've watched this guy morph. I mean, he's Picasso. He has a cubist period. He has an abstract period. He's able, even on his deathbed.
No hits.
One hit.
I mean, but what, the light? I mean,
which is the most undillerous beat
ever.
Yeah.
What was? I got to tell you the light story. How
it's,
I tried.
It's a hit on
how I tried to
nine
take that.
Blocks in Brooklyn.
No, the light is a hit.
And,
when I play
and
the light
15
out.
Blocks in Philly.
No, not at all.
No, when I play the light, it goes on.
Listen, this is all I'm gonna say. What was Miles Davis's big
hit? Like literally.
What was Miles Davis's hit?
Jazz is different.
No, it's not. What was John Coltrane's hit?
Kind of Blue. The whole album.
All right, well, technically, Miles went gold with one record.
So what is Miles Davis's big hit?
What was John Coltrane's big hit?
Favorite Things.
What was King Oliver's? What was King Oliver's big hit? My whole point and my whole existence is it is possible to actually create
you're right.
Something.
Yeah, no,
now you're just going to help me.
Hey, there's no great comedians without great jokes. Oh, boy, so funny. Okay, tell me one of his jokes.
Yeah, you gotta remember. Even in your world.
You gotta remember stuff.
Even
it gotta stick with you.
Even in your world.
It gotta stick with you.
My thing is
that. The greats make something that sticks.
But the thing is,
this is where you're in the Dilla lane. Because you can go to the Comedy Cellar and hang with the on and popping. You can go a little bit above Midtown Manhattan and go into Hackland. You know, let me tell you about my wife. And then you could probably go to Brooklyn to the alternative comedy world and fit in there a little bit.
That's Dilla.
That's why I'm trying to explain what Dilla is, yo. But because the evidence of him not having hits.
No, I shouldn't have said that. Let's erase that part from the podcast.
No, that's
hits don't matter.
No, I think you're right, because we have the memories. We have the memories of the Dilla records.
I mean, hits matter. Hits matter. You
people,
know.
People like
it.
What you do matters.
I don't love Chronic 2001 because there's so many hits on there. I just love Dre's music. Even
I think
the songs that are not hits, I love.
I think people are also just blind. It's impossible for us. We live in a cult of personality. Like, there's something that happened in 1997 in which. Do you remember your first reaction when you first heard that Puff was coming out with a solo record?
Oh.
You laughed.
Yeah.
When Biggie was alive, it was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to produce Puff solo record.
Yeah.
And we were like, ha,
that's
funny.
Yo, Biggie, fuck out of here. What you talking about?
And Biggie's, the reason why we took it so serious was because, I mean, his first single was An Ode to Biggie. So it wasn't like we could fire squad on Puff about get out of here. I mean, he was doing
a tribute
to Biggie, which basically was like, all right, guns down. We'll let this one. Right. And he ran with it.
Can I just pause real quick to make fun of the B-side of that siphon? We've done this many times.
What's the? What?
I love the Locks.
No,
they're
the
my
Locks
guys.
Fire.
You like it?
We always love Big Papa.
I like what they say. No.
Where's the B-side?
The Locks are amazing.
I love what they say. I love what they say, but the chorus.
We'll always love
Big Papa.
They didn't have much time.
But guess what?
They were rushed.
See, all right. Now, my thing is there such thing as good music and bad music, or is it effective and non-effective? You don't like it, but yet you remember it.
True.
Well, how can you forget it?
You just sang it. It sticks. So, again, is it more important for it to be good and bad, or is it more important to be effective and non-effective?
Okay, this is a very interesting point. Here's what I want to do, though, because we're going to a lot of places conversationally.
You're playing the Big Papa.
Yeah, this is. So you pass the sun. Hope you right next to God, and he calling you son. Taking you in, angels breaking you in. This is heaven, and no longer do you have to sin.
You gotta always remember.
You gotta always love Big Papa.
You gotta always remember when you there's just one element of Rosenberg that he doesn't have the street element. He doesn't know what it is to drive on 125th Street mm-hmm. after Biggie died playing that. You always miss that one.
Of course I do. That's why you're on. That's why we do the podcast together. Because you don't know what the fuck it's like to drive down the streets of Chevy Chase, Maryland after Biggie died. Because it was real for us, too. It just was a different look. But I felt it the same way in my own way.
I will never forget.
Chevy Chase talking about the death of rapper Christopher Wallace.
Exactly.
Rapper Christopher Wallace.
Do you know how I found out Biggie died? I found out that Biggie died confirmed living in Chevy Chase at my parents' house about to go to a basketball game, a rec league game. I called WTOP. This is so pre-internet. I called a radio station that does news, and I was like, excuse me, have you guys reported that a rapper named Biggie Smalls died? And they were like, and they confirmed it for me. That's how I got the information.
Yo, can I tell you?
Seems so crazy. Wow.
Can I tell you my story?
How did you find out?
Oh, boy. All right, so right around the time when Life After Death was just about to come out, it was not all good between the Roots and Biggie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You remember that?
Basically, you thought he dissed you and he didn't.
Well, no. We always knew he was saying the Gooch. And we actually have evidence. We did a documentary once where we were at the radio station and the guy was like, yo, man, nigga said I said Invincible Ruly like the Roots. No, man, the Gooch, different strokes. They ain't lyrical, but you know what I'm talking about, right? Like, we was always good. Biggie was like our biggest champion. Like, when he did Eagle Trip Magazine, he championed us and J.Ru higher than anyone. Like, oh, no. Like, he put Brooklyn onto the Roots.
Okay, but things are
so
going
left.
So
we did this What They Do video. And, you know, it's sort of like a sarcastic look at what was champagne. Then becoming champagne culture.
Right.
Right. So we kind of told the director, like,
yo, Chris Rock did the same thing later on. Champagne Room.
Exactly.
It happened.
The connection. Anyway, so
Gerald LaVert's dead.
We
Biggie's dead.
Way to
damn,
way to,
everyone's
way to
dead.
Just
damn Chris.
Just the down. Anyway, so we just assumed, like, we told the director, like, we don't want to do like a direct reference to someone's video. We just talking about the impending lurking of this new. At the time, it seemed like, you know, the new
jiggy,
apartheid.
The jiggy,
yes, the have-nots versus the haves.
Yeah.
So we didn't know, based on the way the set looked, we didn't know that we were doing a direct reference to One More Chance.
Right. Oh.
So when we saw the final cut, like, we're always in Europe, so they're like, you know, we're like, okay, well, you know, let's see the final cut. They showed it to us, and I was like, oh, damn. Like, but it was too late. Like, we didn't have the power to be like, Kanye, like, scrap my video, like, do it again, take this shit. And we was just like, oh, well.
Guess we got to put that out.
And we did, and of course, he caught feelings. So he said in the source, like, you know, like, my feelings is hurt. Like, I was a fan of them niggas. I put, you know, I put Brooklyn on to them. I was a fan. I feel disrespected. But, you know, I'm a laid back. But, you know, one of my niggas, though, you know, might see them niggas, like, the one with the stick, chew stick in his mouth. Like, he may come up and, like, he said some shit like that. So the source hits me up.
Oh, I love hip hop, the good old days.
The source hits me up on March 8th to do a quote. And I was like, well, I said, I don't want to do a quote. Can I do an op-ed? You know, because I really want to explain the position without.
You've always been the same, well, haven't you?
The first rapper that wanted to do an op-ed.
Yeah, I said, let me do an op-ed.
And no, he wasn't anybody popping back then. Yeah.
Plus, no one at the source knew what an op-ed was. You had to explain to them what an op-ed was.
Well, that's interesting.
I explained. I said, let me do an op-ed. Because what I wanted
What's
to
an
do.
Open?
What I wanted to do was kind of explain the dangers. I mean, 96, 97 was. New York was becoming divided from the haves and the have-nots. And I wrote this beautiful manifesto. It was like 1,000 pages. I faxed it to the source. And literally, I called the source. It took me like 10 hours to do it. Proofread it. It was great. Called the source and said, okay, I'm ready to send the response to Biggie thing, op-ed. And they're like, oh, God, you didn't hear what happened, did you?
Holy shit.
And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, Biggie's dead. And that
killed me.
Like, that.
Yeah, you guys always had to deal with the fact that you never made it completely right.
I never made it right. So then cut to.
He knows now.
Cut to 3 months later. I'm at SOB's with Tip at Lyricist's Lounge. Now, you're hip hop heads. You have the first most 12 inch, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Universal Magnetic
B-Boy. If you can hear, you can hear. Yeah.
Right, where he's holding that B-Boy freeze.
That's at SOB's that night?
All right. That freeze came at the tail end of Goodnight when he did an acapella version of Children's Story.
Okay.
Like, most couldn't have been more on fire at this moment. Mm-hmm. Every line he said in Children's Story was like, yo, like, the audience was going out their mind. And me and myself, I was caught up in it. I was like, yeah, yeah. Now, you know what the subject of Children's Story is.
It's Dissing Puff and all
right. So I'm like going all like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he said, this is funny. Don't you laugh. And then so good cast. Good night. And he does that freeze. And we was like, yeah, yeah, oh, my God. And then I looked to the right, and it's Puffy and, like, 15 dudes dressed in black. And I was like, fuck, I'm dead.
What?
They came through SOBs?
Tip invited Puff to see if he wanted to sign Mos. I have no idea that Mos was going to do this shit. So I'm there like, yeah, yeah. And then, like, Puff is dressed in the blackest of the black, like, hitman, mafia black with 15 dudes. Just like in glasses, look like Wesley Snipes in Blade.
And you turned to Puff and you fucking poured your drink on his head.
And I was like, I literally thought, I said, oh damn, I just killed the Roots. Cause then I'm gonna get my ass beat by 15 motherfuckers.
Look terrible. Yeah.
We wound up having the strangest summit meeting. Like an hour later, Tip was like, yo, Puff would have a meeting in the back. Me, Mos.
You go downstairs?
It was me, Mos. No. It wasn't at SOBs. It was at Wetlands.
Ah.
So a little danky and, you know.
I never made it to Wetlands.
Like, Puff preached to me and Mos.
I didn't live here then. I was a kid.
Puff preached to me and Mos like we was his children. Like, let me just tell you something about my life. This is what I do. This is how I live. My man loved y'all. Like, we just sat there. And then 45 minutes later, it was... I guess it was all good. We didn't get our asses beat. But.
Still pretty much every conversation with Puff, by the way.
You just summarized everything.
Really?
Let me tell you about my life, homeboy.
All right, now here's what I want to
get. Let me tell you about my eggs.
Let's get
Fabergé.
You understand?
Let's gain a little bit of direction here, because what I want to make sure we do with the time we have with Chris Rock is you have been the hip-hop dude. You've been that dude, I think, our whole lives that we watch on TV who know loves hip-hop.
I'm going to go to the bathroom.
All right, go ahead. Good. We're talking to Chris right now. Chris, go ahead, take your time.
Oh, man, I don't have that story.
But you've been...
Oh, no, you got a billion stories.
Yeah, you got more stories than that. But where did...
Tell me when you're Albie Shore tour stories.
So, but we know that you've always been...
the opening act for Albie Shore.
You were an opening act for Albie Shore?
I did the Effect Mode whatever tour.
Doing comedy?
Yeah.
Effect Mode.
I was supposed to open up for Run DMC on the Raising Hell tour, and Lior Cohen tried to cut my money at the last minute.
A lot of stories about Lior like that.
Yeah, Lior will definitely. Hey, you're making $500 a night. Hey, you're making $150 a night. What? You know what? Fuck you, Lior.
We're having him on the podcast soon. I'm going to ask him.
Yeah. And so I ended up doing Andre Harrell Save Me. I did Heavy D. Did real good with Heavy D.
How did people in those days react to the comedy opener before a concert?
You know what? I didn't know it wasn't supposed to work. You know what I mean? Like, they did fine. I opened for Al, I opened for Heb, I opened for Keith Sweat, I opened for, you know.
And what about the guy? Comedians open up in tours? I'm trying to bring that back, because I want to go on tour.
Yeah, I know. We know you do, Seth. We know you will do anything to be out on the fucking road.
I want to go on a road, man.
Fuck.
But they used to always have comedians.
Oh, here's a good one. So me and Albie Shore in the bus, right? We're in the back of the bus.
Fucking bitches.
It was ridiculous, right?
I'm sure the things
you
saw.
It was fucking... It was un-be-fucking... And this is before AIDS, motherfucker. This is like, you can't even... It's like before AIDS. Yeah.
Anyway. I have bad news for you.
Yeah?
It wasn't before AIDS.
This is never before AIDS. Right? But
you lucked out though, so it's good.
It's so weird. So we're listening. Somebody gave us a cassette of Bobby Brown, Don't Be Cruel. Hasn't come out yet.
Classic material.
Albie Shore's getting ready to do the Any Heartbreak tour.
So it's supposed to be any. It's supposed to be New Edition, Guy, Albie Shore, Bobby Brown. Bobby Brown's supposed to open the fucking show. So we're playing, you know, the record, right? The whatever, right? The cassette. And every record was so much better. And you could see Al just getting more depressed as it got on. By the time it got to, like, Rock With You or whatever, like, Al B. Shore's career was over. Like, on that bus, I witnessed it over. I was sitting right with him.
In one listening,
he's like, oh, my, this shit is over. I'm done. And sure enough, by the end of the tour,
did you practically walk off the tour bus? Like, I'm gonna go to Bobby.
It was like never. He was never the same.
So were you already popping by the? What year did you really get by New Jack City? Did people know you already?
I was like famous enough to get in the club and, you know, get
New York famous or anywhere.
New York, no, pretty much anywhere for New Jack City.
Yeah, by the time it came out.
Pookie.
I
was in the Carter.
Pre-Pookie. Post-Pookie, you were anywhere.
I was still, you know, give me one rib. I was still, you know, I'm going to get you something.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
That's enough to get you in the club and get you, you know, hottest chick, but, you know.
Do you remember the first?
Whoever didn't leave with Jam Master Jay would go, okay, Chris
Wait,
Rock,
that's what year? What's,
Okay, whatever.
You remember the guy, I fucked this dude. I remember what he, you know the dude, exactly. Just one rib? I fucked that guy.
Yeah,
just one rib guy.
Yeah. Wait, Ronnie DeVoe didn't want to fuck me, but Chris Rock was there, so.
The rib guy! Do you remember?
Beverly Hills Cop is before that? Is that
Beverly
first?
Hills Cop, it's around the same time. Around
and I'm going to get you sucker. But you had a way bigger part, and I'm going to get you sucker.
Yeah, right, that was enough to get you in the club.
Right.
You could leave with
Did
something.
You write that bit, or was that?
You know what it was?
Keenan
stole my bit. It was a bit from my stand-up. And I think he got a crisis of conscience. And then put me in the movie at the last.
Oh, at that part.
Oh, and it was already written like that.
Like somebody else was going to do it.
Wait, by this point, you were in the Black Pack, right?
Yeah, but I was living in New York, and the movie had like a $9 budget. So they had to fly me out. So they were going to do it with somebody else.
Hold on. Like, sorry, guys. Interruption on Juan Epstein. Mr. C just quit on air.
Really?
What?
That's what I've been told.
Quit what?
The radio.
I just saw
Again?
Him a second ago.
Yeah, he just quit.
That's
what I was about to say.
Well, so is it dead airspace right now?
No, I mean, I'm sure that would be really ballsy if he did that.
What?
What did he say?
I just saw him in the elevator.
Come to the mic, Juanito.
You got to come to the microphone.
Right. Come to this
I just saw him in the elevator. I've never come here and not bumped into
Mr. C. That's another one.
He said live right now that, hey, today's my last day. I'm going to ride out for the rest of the show.
But did he say a reason why?
No reason
because
why.
Because I know why. Because all this DJ changes shit.
I know. That's
and
what I figured
his show
it is.
Got, one of his shows got yip, yip, yip.
And that was it.
Yeah. Which show?
The Friday night one.
Damn! Oh, Friday night.
Yeah.
No.
But yeah.
As long as the one I do in the afternoon.
No, that's gone now too. Though he just quit.
He just quit.
So that's gone too. You still lost, Quest. Fuck. Well, I can't say I'm uber surprised because it's been a weird couple days here.
It's been a very weird.
Are you guys safe? Secure?
No, we're never safe.
Nobody's
we're safe this
Yo,
round.
Why do you think we had you bring Chris Rock? We're going to hit him up about a job the second when this fucking thing ends. We're nothing safe.
You opening up my tour, right?
I'm opening up for Chris Rock tonight.
Oh,
I don't give a fuck if it's in front of his house.
Do you need an accountant? I will go to school. All right. So you think he already had that. Keenan had it and was like, you know what? Let Chris Rock be in the fucking
that's
movie.
That's what I think.
Now,
it's all good.
Do you remember the first time you were given pussy knowing this is because you're famous? I want you to have this pussy. This is just, go ahead.
Yeah, I was with my man Mario Joyner. We're at some club, right? And Mario's like kind of a track star or whatever. And
related to Jackie Joyner?
No. He's a comedian, right?
Oh.
Anyway.
He's the other black guy Seinfeld hangs out with, right?
Yeah, the other black guy Seinfeld hangs out with. Anyway, he's the big guy. I'm the little guy, right? And we got these two girls, and I got the big one.
Okay.
That was the sign. It's like, the only reason I got the big one is because I'm fucking famous.
I got the tall one. Okay, gotcha.
So I got the fucking 5 foot whatever,
right, 9
model chick, and he had to go with, you know.
Yo, we have
with the little one.
In the same seat you're sitting in.
I was like, hey, I'm Pookie.
Oh, you got Pookie pussy.
I played a crackhead.
Damn.
You know how hard it was to get
pussy?
Where's
that American flag shirt now?
I don't know, man. You got to understand, too. Like, I was the last. New Jack City is like a boy group. Because you had Ice-T.
Yeah.
Talk about it.
Al Payne. Okay,
Christopher G-Money, Williams.
Christopher Williams,
and Wesley Snipes. So nobody, and Mario Van Peebles.
By the time it gets
by
down
the
to
time
you,
the pussy got to yeah, me.
Like, if you're all together,
you know what?
You know what you have to go through?
No, and what's his face
I
was getting it before
straight
you?
Straight up.
The white guy.
Even the
was,
white guy.
Right, even Judd, I was Jackie Jackson in that group. I was like.
Tito.
I was, yeah.
I credit New Jack City for switching the tide.
I had to have a real personality to get some pussy for that movie.
The second that blade goes into Wesley Snipe from Wesley Snipes' hands to Christopher Williams, I feel that was the moment Lightskin Brothers were over.
That was it.
That was the end.
That was it.
How the fuck do I not have
a hiatus? It wasn't over.
How do I not
we
have
we started Jack the club we New Jack City started the whole, you go to a club and do an appearance and get paid. Right, yeah,
yeah. Really?
Yeah, that started that whole culture of that. Like, they would pay us to go to a club. Yeah, they,
all of y'all, the whole cast?
Us five or whatever it was.
They're like, yo, Chris, and you want to come down to the club with us? Nah, I'm going to go to my own club. I don't get pussy around y'all.
I'm not getting no pussy around y'all.
Did you audition for it?
Yeah, I auditioned for it. I think I got it over like Kadeem Hardison or something.
I always said I wish Kadeem. That was Kadeem Hardison. I was like, I
Kadeem
wish that
Hardison
was Kadeem
used to
Hardison.
Beat me for every. I was almost Dwayne Wade.
Death by Temptation.
Death by Temptation. Vampire in Brooklyn. It was always me and Kadeem in like some room getting ready to go audition for something.
You were okay.
He won way more than me.
Fucking Kadeem Hardison.
I'm scared of him. If he came in here right now, I'd be scared I was going to lose
this
the podcast.
Interview.
Hold on, what's that? We got Kadeem Hardison. Yo, Chris, it's been real.
We got Kadeem Hardison.
Do you remember your first time seeing hip hop in real life, like seeing it actually outside happening on the street?
I saw, oh man, I'm older than y'all, man. I saw Flash at the New York High School of Printing.
Whoa.
I saw Flash.
Oh, you saw like real hip hop.
I saw like real hip hop. I saw like Flash at the High School of Printing. Scratching for the first time. It was cut. It was good, good, good. And then one day he's like, drickle, drickle, drickle. And we're like, oh shit. And we all ran home and started scratching.
Trying to fuck up your mom's turntables. Nasty
bell
drive.
I got it beaten the first
time. I was at the Fever. I saw Grand Wizard Theodore. I saw the Cold Crush. Yeah.
Grand Wizard was our guest 2 podcasts ago.
Wow.
We talked about the invention of scratching with him.
Mastodon and the Cut Committee. You know,
so you were what era did
I'm
you
50 years old
did
man.
You what era did you enjoy the most?
What era do I enjoy? I'm probably enjoying it now as good as anything.
Really?
I mean I loved that, the whole culture of like getting a flyer and finding out you got to go to some armory in the Bronx,
but not to ask
and it's dangerous all
right.
the time.
That's what I'm asking.
It's always dangerous.
Not to ask you a relic question, but there's a difference between if I tell you to come to Brooklyn Bowl, you know that
safe. This was never safe,
right?
It
so
was
what
like
made
the
you
Warriors,
go?
Because it was all we had. This was it. We used to stay up till Mr. Magic didn't come on till like 3 o'clock in the morning on like Wednesdays. Okay, that was it. And the whole everybody, I won't say the whole school, but everybody that was into hip hop, yo, we are up at 3 o'clock in the morning listening to Mr. Magic.
Yeah, so it's okay? Just everyone, and that's what was so fun is that like, at the time that everyone, you had to put in effort. Like, it really required a thing to do
yo,
this.
Yo, that shit was...
That's a badge of honor. Like, when you meet other people and then you're like, damn, you do that too?
If you look at old, just go through any picture books of old hip-hops, you'll see me. I'm in a bunch of these
Do
books.
You really see yourself in...
Yes!
Any album cover jackets? In the inside any albums?
Nah, but, you know, I know Kaz. I mean, everybody knows me from way before I was
Well, listen,
famous.
We know they know you now.
No, I'm just saying.
I can't imagine the phone calls you've gotten about, Chris, listen, I see you're doing really good.
The
things
quarter.
Are going
you know, we talk about it all the time.
So you start getting in movies and getting a little bit big time, and then you kind of have an opportunity to be, like, I imagine, even closer to it. Like, you get to go backstage at concerts.
Yeah.
What artists did you kind of forge relationships with in those days?
Run. Jay more than anybody.
Jam Master Jay.
You know, Kane. Like, we're all the same age. Me, Run, Kane, Rakim.
You're opening for them, or are you just chilling?
I'm just chilling. There's no comedian. This is before the Def Comedy Jam. This is before UPN or whatever. So
right.
Comedians are generally old, You know what I mean? Or just they just want to be grown. Even Eddie Murphy wanted to be a grown man. He was never like a B-boy.
Right.
So there was no comedians.
You were doing comedy at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there was no comedians to hang out with. So I would do comedy and then go to the Latin Quarter.
So you're the first B-boy comedian.
Whatever.
Your first dude I saw throw a microphone down on the stage.
Yeah, I would, you know, I wasn't hanging out with comedians. I was, you
are
know.
Are you 50 on the dot?
I'll be 50 in February, February 7th.
Because when you think about it, February 7th, we have Larry Bird. No, that's not
look
Larry.
Good, right? What?
February 7th is a big day.
This is a rich 50.
Oh.
looks like 35.
Puns, is that, I think that's Pun's birthday. I think that's Pun's birthday, or maybe Dilla's death day. Either way.
Dilla's death day.
Birthday just passed. Dilla's death day.
Oh, yeah, Pun's birthday just passed.
It's Pun's death day.
Pun's death day. No, that's Dilla's death day.
All right, whatever.
Thanks a lot, Chris. You killed
the 10th. The 10th is his death day. I think the 6th is his birthday.
Dilla's death day.
And then Pun is like the same few days.
Yeah.
So, but what I was going to say was, for someone who's 49 or 50, from New York. Wait, you're from the Bronx?
I'm from Brooklyn.
You're from Brooklyn, that's right. I know, that's what I thought. But he mentioned the Bronx, but I thought he was from Brooklyn.
But all the, who
was
all
that for?
All the rap was in the Bronx. All the rap was in the Bronx.
But because you can't tell somebody from the from Brooklyn that they're from the Bronx.
Yeah, no, it's like, no, yeah, you could have never said
that. Houdini, you know.
But you lived through literally...
I carried crates.
You did? For who?
Houdini, Dynamite 2.
Oh, my God.
The Dynamite 2.
That might be the first time I ever asked that question.
Freddie B and the Mighty Mike Masters.
I don't know who that is.
Some groups didn't pop off all the way, guys.
I know. Yeah, I know. It didn't happen for everyone.
it's the same as nowadays, yo.
Not everyone made it.
Oh, you know Freddie B and the Mighty Mike.
No,
you know
don't.
The beat. You know the beat. What? You know the beat. You know the beat.
Quest, you know this record you're talking about?
I'm stumped.
Quest Love is stumped. You got to find
Freddie. You got Freddie's dead. You got some Fred Flintstone.
Freddie Mercury.
Freddie B the Mighty Mike Masters. What the hell is that record? It's the hip-hop? Word.
I was about to say, you know it's old
word.
If the song's just called It's the Hip-Hop.
I think.
What could sound like an older rap song than that?
I got to look this up.
Cosmo
this up.
D lived around the corner from me.
Scythe?
No.
Cosmo D.
From Nucleus?
Nucleus was right around the corner from me.
I didn't know they were from Brooklyn.
They're from from Bainbridge Street.
Well, I got their episode of Soul Train, so.
What People Do for Money? Who's that?
Divine Styles.
Divine Styles lived on Patchen.
Wow.
Quest, Disco Rich is
you know
what
the name?
I'm called.
I just want to stop and have a moment for hip-hop here.
And Pearl Washington was in my homeroom class.
You know the names of the people in Nucleus?
Yeah.
You're a fucking...
It's Cosmo D.
Yeah, you're a fucking G. You are a fucking G.
That's a big hit.
Yes.
No, they had a few hits.
That's a
I just didn't know the names of the
that's
guys.
That's a monster hit.
I can't listen to any Nucleus songs.
Chili
Jam
on it?
Chili B. They give shout-outs. Yo, Chili B.
So you pay attention. So,
because in my day, you used to have to get girls to get girls in my school, you'd have to take 3 hours out of your day and write down the lyrics. Like the first day I heard Rapper's Delight was long enough. Once I knew, it was like a War of the Worlds moment.
Mint Condition wanted to say hello.
Okay, well, bring them in to say hello, of course.
They got suits on? Hey.
Mint Condition's here. Crap, they want to say hi to Chris Rock and Questlove.
How's it going, sir?
Y'all at High 97?
No. They're at BLS. What up, guys? Cypher, Mint Condition is here for the week. What's up, guys? They're playing BB King's last night and tonight.
Nice.
Are we having a cross episode? Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Or are we?
Oh, no, this is a good time to ask questions. Perfect. I was about to say pause here, but go ahead and ask a question.
Okay, yeah. I'm like the biggest fan of the show. But
we love that.
When you did, I'll see
peace,
guys.
Guys.
See you. When you guys did the backstage of Def Jam thing, which is a hilarious episode, by the way.
A slept on episode.
I love when you guys are stuck backstage without like proper credentials and the security people.
And the Calvin
what
Klein
were we talking
lounge.
About before Mint Condition?
Yeah, I do want to get
on.
The
first time I've ever heard that said.
But hold on.
Wait, I do. Forget my question. Okay. You were on. All right, Cosmo D. We were talking about. You carrying crates for people.
Carrying crates.
Oh
yeah.
My! You were just naming.
Roxy.
You were just naming legendary.
Oh
groups.
No! I was saying
I was at the first LL Cool J show at the Roxy. I was at Tila Roxy.
You had that Roxy show. I have that on tape.
I got a picture of my nuts on the Eiffel Tower, and he slams the mic, and we're just like, "What? Who the fuck is this guy?
Dude,
who is he? He's going. What? He's not going anywhere.
You really thought that?
You just like it was like. Yeah, it was
but,
just,
but
some,
Chris,
was
you were
weird.
Doing comedy at the time?
I was doing comedy at the time.
Yeah. Where? Like?
There's a place called Catch a Rising
Star.
Yeah,
I've heard of it.
Yeah,
I know all the comedy shit.
Comic strip.
This is live at the Roxy. This is that show.
So sounds pretty good, actually.
He goes
nothing
on.
From a record. He was so dope.
Man.
He was so dope.
All right, so who is the GOAT that will really, truly never be called the GOAT? Like, who's going to be the...
He was.
I never say Thriller is my favorite record because it's too ubiquitous to say it. You know what I mean? Like, it's too obvious.
Right, I know. It's hard to say those ones that are...
Like, LL is that great that you'll never say LL's the greatest because it's just like...
LL is damaged.
It's assumed greatest.
LL is damaged. By the last 10 years.
He's done
in terms
enough.
Of the way people talk. And I agree, but in terms of the way people talk about him.
His pros are very are bigger than his cons.
If Sylvester Stallone dies after Rocky, he's Marlon Brando.
Exactly. Instead, you people remember everything else. That's just a fact of the matter. I mean, LL, if LL had retired.
I like Rhinestone.
If LL had retired after, wait for it, it's going to be way later than you think. Even if he never did it again after Love You Better. I would have been like, yeah, Love You Fucking Better. That's a song. Then he lucks out again, stumbles
with
ass backwards
sprung.
Into shit onto Headsprung, which should have been shit, but actually turned out to be like this big club banger. And he still had to keep going. Like, he keeps going. Yeah. Oh, he dropped a record 2 weeks ago that hurt my feelings when I listened to it.
Wait, there's a new record?
I couldn't listen.
There's a bunch of them.
Flex is playing a bunch. I mean, they
he dropped bombs on it?
Studio once.
I hope not.
Just one... Damn, what's the name of it?
That's my dream in life to get...
He's got one decent record in the last 5 years.
Like, of the last several years.
Yeah, it's what that Marley produced called You Better Watch Me.
Yo, Chris, you're still on your shit, bro.
It's not bad.
LL Cool J?
Really?
You Better Watch Me. Marley produced it.
Let me see if I got this.
Yo, they brought me to the studio once to do scratches on an LL record.
Really?
Yeah,
I've never heard this on anyone episode. Yeah,
I
okay.
just remember now. It's a moment I don't want to remember.
Okay, then I'm excited about it.
And they set up the turntables, and then some line they want me to scratch, and I'm scratching it. And then, you know Jay Brown, right?
Yeah.
Runs Rock Nation. I'm like, oh, shit, I'm scratching on an LL record. This is crazy. So that after that, we step out, and I'm like, yo, so what's up with this record? He's like, oh, this shit ain't never coming out. He's like, sometimes we got to do sessions to please LL.
Oh,
damn!
Like, yo, what the fuck?
Oh, it's like Muhammad Ali, man. It's like
Sometimes we let him do sessions to just get his ideas out, and we come with the real shit. I was like, damn. Son.
Only now in the internet era, he has to put those songs out.
You can leak it.
It's like it's going out.
Everything you made is coming out.
It's going out.
That's the fucked up part about it. But you're right. LL really, there's a case for greatest if LL's career ends 15 years ago. But I think now it's a hard case to make. I really do. I think Jay, I really do think Jay and Eminem basically have one and
has
two
the
sewn up. Yeah. I think it's hard to argue against them because of what you mentioned, because of hits. Hits makes it very hard to argue with those guys.
I go Jay and Kanye.
Over Jay and M.
Yeah. Wait, what is this? What are we saying?
We're talking straight up greatest.
Greatest of all time?
Yeah. GOAT conversation.
But Kanye, I'm not saying greatest rhymes you can read on a piece of paper.
You're saying overall, the impact, the performance.
I'm like, we're at the club and they play this record and like, yo.
Who's all right,
got,
so what constitutes 10 greatest?
Amazing records I want to hear.
So does track record constitute greatest as opposed to actual work?
What's the difference between track record?
All right.
And actual
here's,
work.
Here's a mystery. Now, right now, I guess the 2 week, the 15-minute obsession of the moment, or at least on its 14th minute, is Bitch You Guessed It.
Okay. Yeah, that's already gone. That's
what I mean. Strange enough, is an awesome internet sensation. But I cannot make that work in the club for nothing.
Why would you try?
Syph, have you gotten it to work?
No, I don't play that crap.
You don't play Bitch You Guessed It?
No.
He still has feelings.
Yeah, of course. He cares. I don't have it. I don't have Bitch
You
Guessed It.
So you
where do you watch it for then? What's that song for if not the club? I don't understand the point of shit if it's not for the club. That's the point
well,
of shitty rap songs.
It's not mixed
no,
well.
Man, no,
but
there's a new thing besides clubs is that internet, yo.
I can't.
Yeah, bitch, you guessed it might be a Watershed moment.
Vine compilations.
It might be. Bitch, you guessed it might be a Watershed moment for. Strictly for YouTube.
Yeah.
Because I thought, like, it's YouTube numbers would suggest to you.
Right. It's crazy.
That this is going, and this
nothing happens.
It blends in perfectly with No Flex Zone.
But
so I mixed it, and it was like,
nothing.
People just looked at it. It's mixed bad. It's mixed horrible. It's just a whole bunch of bass.
No, that don't matter.
And
it just doesn't happen. Guys, I'm going to tell you something about the internet. This is mind blowing. The other day, Deani, who I work with, she goes, Ebro goes, yo. Did you see comedians drinking coffee in cars, whatever the fuck it's called, with Kevin Hart? I was like, no, that's out? He goes, yeah. I was like, oh, shit. I jump on. And I'm like, oh, this is crazy. Deani, who's 23 or whatever, she goes, I tried to watch that. That was too long.
It's like 7 minutes, right?
No. It's long for that.
Right.
But I was like, hold on. 20 minutes.
It's informative.
With Seinfeld and Kevin Hart.
Right. Entertaining.
That has both sides of everything all together.
It's really good.
Patience. I said 18 minutes. What are artists going to do in the future if this generation is the purchasing power? Like, they don't want to see anything.
Patience.
Just a song. I mean, I'm sorry, a hook. Some songs now are just a hook.
Most good songs are a hook.
No, but like you could only get
only
through one. Like,
you know something I just discovered? Love Roller Coaster by the Ohio Players is just a hook. There's no verse to it.
No.
There's no verse.
But there's verses to these.
There's a bridge and a hook.
I refuse to ride. Like, three words. But basically, Love Roller Coaster. The same with Jungle Boogie. Like, it just hit me.
Yeah, that's all that happens in those
songs.
That
this, like, top five song is nothing but a hook. Like, I've been duped.
You didn't even realize it because the song's so good.
No, next Roots record, shit, I'm just sing the hook. Nothing else matters.
Now, Chris, did you ever have the experience?
First Little John record.
What is it?
Just saying one thing. I was going to ask you this, totally unrelated. Did you have the experience this time, going back to you coming up in as a comedian while hip-hop's blowing up, did you have any of the experiences at all that, like, for example, Aziz references about, like, you show up to something and people are like, all right, be funny.
Of course. Yeah.
Everybody was that just a regular thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's different if Rakim Allah is telling you to be funny. You better fucking be funny, motherfucker.
Nah.
Rakim wouldn't do that.
Nah, I mean, people do that all the time. People still do that. Not as much. I'm older now.
Do you feel the pressure to
the fucking worst.
Be the funny guy? Because you're naturally. Well, I mean, it's not like it was the black pack. Like, you're the funniest guy in the room. But you naturally can alpha male your humor to force people into, like, you're the funniest person in the room. Like, do you feel that pressure? Like, I gotta have a line. I gotta have something topical.
Never.
It's natural.
You're a great small talker. I hate small talk.
Oh,
like I'm learning.
I'm not a great small talker. I don't think that.
You are. Like you,
I got, you know what? I feel
you at least have
10
things. But you have 10 things. You, if Jay-Z, if Prince were to walk in the room, I kind of freeze up. But you know instantly.
Well, I go right to track 9. I always
always
compliment some track that a guy got that's not a single.
Yo, Chris.
Oh, that's what I did.
That's in my book, too.
Yo,
he's 100% right.
That's how I got cool with R. Kelly.
Always go into an album track, you automatically make a friend.
Yo, Chris,
I was labeling
you're so right.
Album tracks with R. Kelly. He was like, come down to the studio.
Because you name dropped the thing?
That's the dopest advice.
Track 9, man. Just
like
go to
sports,
track 9.
I don't fuck with sports. So anytime I meet a sports person,
I
don't know what to say to you.
But with music,
yeah, you just say, "Yo, that so-and-so song."
Well, and the thing is also it gives you
that should have been a single.
Damn, that's all motherfuckers say to me, man. So you trying to say
that's
that it's disingenuous?
It
no, it might be real. It might be real.
I'm real.
Right,
I mean
it. But it's all you knew about them.
Really, you like the Japanese import?
Not the single. Normally, my favorite record's not the single.
Right. Like, but it does work so well.
It goes right to the ego, boy.
Right.
But mostly, most comedians that I know are depressed. They're
like, you're hanging out with Wyatt.
No.
I agree. Chris, you do seem very undepressed and pathetic. No offense. I've compared to most comedians that I know. Though I love them, I still think they're somewhat pathetic.
I have a life. I have children, you know.
You have a reason to live?
I got my own psychosis.
So, 95, Chris Rock. All right, pre-Bring the Pain hip-hop, Chris Rock.
Right.
94, before big funny jokes or whatever, like, would you have been the same way?
When's the last time I've been, like, really depressed? Probably, like, in grade school or something. Since I became a comedian, it's always been fun.
But you do, and bro, those green rooms, son, sometimes it's like a mental institution.
You know what, too? I started at a young age. I look at it realistically. I used to work at the Daily News and Burger King and all this other stuff. Even when my career wasn't happening, I could always look at guys. I could be honest and go, Sinbad's funnier than me. Damon Wayans is better than me. Martin Lawrence is better. Do the math.
Right.
And I didn't expect anything till I became better than the people around me.
So when they got opportunities over you, you got it.
I got, because comedy's not music. Comedy's not like who you know and you pay this DJ. Right. And there's no Timberland that gives you a great beat in comedy, even though you suck.
Right.
So if someone kills.
If someone
kills, you have to own it and be like, they killed.
They killed. You can't, you cannot, you gotta respect the kill.
That's interesting.
Yeah, but if
you can't fake it in comedy. You can fake it in music.
You can. That's a really good point. I think that's why I hate stand-up comedy.
You can just be on somebody's coattails. You can just be in somebody's crew with music.
Yeah. I've seen it a million times.
Oh, you're down with Cash Money. Oh, you're down with...
Right, you're going to get a look just for that.
Yeah, and you're going to get... Oh, you with Woo in 90, whatever.
Right.
There's none of that in comedy.
In fact, the comedians who we find out later were down with other comedians, we never knew they were even cool. It's unrelated when you see them blow up. In hip-hop, that's so-and-so's guy.
So you can't take...
So what happened to the Black Pack then?
What do you mean?
Or was that just a myth in our minds?
What do you mean the Black
Pack? I mean, he was part of...
Those guys were good.
Who's the Black Pack?
Murph? Like, he used to...
Murphy was the best. Keenan made tons of money.
This is Cruz.
Right.
Keenan made, whatever, $300-400 million grossing movies.
Robert, but I mean, the idea of, like, y'all used to hang out every night.
I mean, I'm younger than those guys, but everybody's career rose to where it pretty much should have rose.
So at what point did you guys just stop hanging?
People get families and stuff.
Yeah, you get busy, you get older.
Did you ever have any late night hangouts in hotel rooms with Bill Cosby? Did that ever happen?
No.
And when you That's woke up, up and when you woke up the next day,
yo, nah,
what
Hannibal's
did you say?
Fucked up over this, yo.
What do you say?
Nah, man.
Hannibal is
fucked up over this.
Oh, Hannibal, does he feel responsible?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
It's not. He did. By the way, the story started brewing really big in the summer. He just brought it back again.
Yeah, I know. All the stories have been there. If you go and look at all the YouTube,
I can't
clips
say anything.
I know you can't.
Are you not even? Is that like a thing you can't even talk?
Anything I talk will be. Yeah,
I know.
Be like,
I know. We don't do this podcast for that.
But I was joking about.
News. Oh, you get a yo.
Yeah, don't say it.
But Chris, here's my. I just want to say one thing to you right now. If you're gonna decide in 5 days to say something,
yes, I'll say it to you.
No. Do it now here instead, so our podcast gets huge. Don't waste it with some asshole TMZ reporter. Please just do it now if you're gonna do it, so we get our thing. If not,
this
don't say.
This is where it will mean.
It will mean something.
Even a denial is big for me. But.
Yeah, don't say anything.
Well, at least let him deny it. Don't, God, Jesus.
By the way, hold on,
but you have to say one thing. Did you guys see the picture that came out?
Oh, no.
The picture?
There's a picture?
Well, there's a picture that I believe Janice Dickinson released from the night that she claims it happened, and she took it of him, and he is definitely looking nothing like Cliff Huxtable.
What?
He's wearing the most crazy colored pimp jacket. Jewelry.
What year is it, though?
Pre-Cosby.
Oh, you're sounding like
it's
he
early.
Had it on last
think,
week.
No. Mad long ago.
I can't believe he had platform shoes on in 1975.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it doesn't look like the guy that I know.
Yeah.
That I believed I knew.
Damn. I see the photo. Yeah.
It's an amazing photo. I'm not saying it's an inherently guilt photo. I'm just saying it's an interesting photo.
What year was it?
You want context for that jacket? Because that jacket's crazy.
I know she said it happened in 82.
Oh, come on, man. Come on. Can we talk about Dilla?
Okay, back to
Oh, whoa. Okay. He's, it's a bad. It is pimpish.
That looks like one of his album covers.
All the Jacksons have the exact same outfit.
Yo, so of that crew that we just mentioned, though, who are you the tightest with? Are the Eddie, Keenan? Are you tight? Do you still cool with all of them?
You know what? They're all. Me and Keenan talk. When I'm in L.A.
If I was
in L.A.
Have any of them seen the movie yet?
None of them have seen the movie yet. Eddie was supposed to come a couple of weeks ago, but he didn't come.
But do you have to find someone who has their number, or you could call them right now?
I'll call them right now.
You have all their numbers.
Yeah.
And when you see each other, y'all make sure y'all exchange.
Yeah.
Updated.
Yeah.
Do black comedians change phone numbers as much as rappers?
Chappelle does.
Chappelle's a number changer.
Chappelle's
definitely a number changer.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you right now, Drake's number change game, I mean, maybe it's just me because he might hate me, but his number change game, strong. Serious. It's every 60 days, he's out. So too many bitches have been fucked with that number.
I got about 13 Chappelle numbers.
I have two litmus tests on how I judge people quickly. One is how they act in a sushi spot. Two is if they ever, you want to know someone's life?
Yeah.
You have dinner with them in a sushi restaurant.
Why?
Because the way that they culturally act in that environment, even if they don't have an experience.
So you're saying if they just grab the sushi with one hand and pick it up and mash it into their mouth and just rub it on their face?
I mean, you know, if you take it, it's a good personality. It's a good litmus test.
This ain't cooked, Jeff. Sushi.
If they know about it, you know that they have a certain type of culture.
That makes sense.
If they play it safe.
The phone one, I think a really good businessman never changes their number. I've had the same number all my life. I have a second and third phone.
But you kept that one. Answer
I have.
I feel bad that I agree with that, and I feel bad that I broke mine. I broke my own rule.
A really good parent doesn't change their number.
Yes.
It's like my kids know my number. I can't.
They need to be able to call me.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, though, I got in trouble with my wife recently, and I changed my number. And
she wanted to know why?
No. She knew why. She knew why I changed my number. But I have to tell you, she was very pleased with the number changing gesture. Like she saw that as like a business sacrifice. Like fuck, you're changing your number because whatever. I'd gotten text from some chick she didn't know. She's like, you're changing your number. That's actually something that's fucking annoying for your life. And I was like, it's all good. I don't need my fucking number. It's a wrap.
Just
it's
block
up.
The girl's number, yo.
I found out about that afterwards.
Yeah, you can block people. Numbers,
yo. Didn't know how easy the number block was.
Well, just don't answer. I only answer when a name pops up.
Yeah, but what about the text that pops up?
Block it.
I got more people.
I didn't know you could fucking do that, dick. Where were you? I got a new number. You know how many people brought? I don't know. What kind of money I've been losing?
I got more people who's... call I don't want to answer in my phone.
Of course. Oh, Sife taught me that. He locks in the number right away.
Yeah.
Oh, what's your... I need your name and number. What's this? Because I have never answered this call.
I got like 2,500 contacts. Most of the names pop up. I'm like, I'm not answering that.
I know that one I'm not answering.
You got to write it down.
I keep an old phone just for old rappers.
Oh, I know.
That's what this phone is
Wait,
for.
But you're saying you want this them is my to rap call life. Annoy you?
This is my TV life right here.
Little boat. It's like, do I really?
Yo, that's amazing. Yo, I'm in your rap life phone, aren't I, Quest?
You just made it to the TV phone.
Good, I got an agent now. I deserve to be in your TV phone.
You made it. Yeah, you made it.
Where am I?
Yeah, I'm going to put you in this one.
Yeah, put me in this
one. I want to be in your good
phone. I like you, Sife.
Not a god. Tito from the Fearless Four.
I was about to say, you must have.
You know what's amazing?
Because Chris all white, black,
everybody.
Do you know what Chris just told me? That's amazing.
What did I tell you?
You can still go back home.
I go to Brooklyn. You know,
he goes to Bedside just to.
I was debating going to Myrtle Avenue today to get me a fish sandwich.
Well, Chris,
I respect that.
I saw you the other
alone.
Night.
Alone.
I saw you the
What's
other
better
night?
Than a ghetto fish sandwich on Myrtle Avenue?
Nothing.
I gotta be honest, guys.
Listen.
I've never had a ghetto fish sandwich.
Listen.
A whiting sandwich?
I have a hood. I have a hood fish sandwich. But check
Extra
this out.
Two pieces of bread?
I called him at 1 in the morning.
Disgusting bread. Disgusting bread.
What's on the fish sandwich? Sorry, what kind of fish is it?
I get the whiting, and I get the extra two pieces of bread. I put my
hot sauce.
So hold on. Is this kind of, are we sort of relating it to a Jewish white fish situation? Is it similar in any way?
No, it's more Southern.
But culturally it is.
It represents the same
sandwich.
Thing
yeah,
for each of us.
It represents the same thing.
But it doesn't taste the same.
Where's your fish sandwich spot?
On Myrtle and I think Carlton?
Because I just got a new 24-hour fish sandwich up in the Heights.
Delicious?
Awesome. It's like 210. But you got to go there like 2 in the morning.
No, Chris, by the way, you have a great moment.
210? And where? You gotta
damn, you're all over the fucking city.
I'll let you know. It's 24 hours. They have great yuca. It's awesome.
I love you.
210. Yeah. Okay, that's good. That's good. From, coming from Jersey, that's
you
good.
Have right, you just jump on the bridge right from there.
You
be in the high school. Hey, Chris,
we're trading fish sandwiches.
You got to be a certain age to really appreciate the fish sandwich.
And well, making a drive for it, like location, figuring out location for the fish sandwich. How close to the bridge is it? You have a great part in the movie when you go home. That scene when you go back to the old and it's in Harlem or supposed to be in the movie and you're outside and ends up being a character not the character you think it is who's kind of playing you like you're the dude who thinks you're too cool for is that based in anything or is it sort of actually the opposite for you in real life?
You get you know what it is? A scene like that happens when you're newly famous. Somebody, oh man, you think you this, you think you that,
all day.
But after a while. Everybody's kind of, if you go back enough, people get used to you on some level.
So it took a minute at first, though. The first go backs are weird.
Yeah, I mean, I've been famous longer than I've not been famous at this point.
Shit, that's right. Yeah.
That's crazy.
So it's just who I am at this point.
Must be nice.
But do you have a.
Like, I saw you the other night sitting in front of the cellar. Like, well, maybe like when it was a little warmer.
Do you mean like sit on the street?
Was he like on the a table outside the comedy?
Oh, got it. I was worried he was like on the ground.
Like, how many people come by and stop and talk to you and stop
it
you?
It never
like,
stops.
And what do? You take pictures?
Take pictures. You say what's up? You know.
Do you ever say no?
It depends. You know, sometimes I'm with my kids.
You're with your kids.
Yeah, I'm with my kids, and I just
kids are the best excuse. I'd imagine.
I don't want to turn my head because my daughter's running over here or something. Yeah, I'll say no.
But short of that, you pretty much say yes.
I try to say yes. Yeah.
That's
but
interesting.
Like, okay, what's
your small price to pay?
No. It is. I like it. I like
crib.
Coming up to me, saying you like whatever it is I do. You like whatever I do. Either DJ or
punch up the aerial view of my house.
Yo, you got Google Maps? I want to show y'all something right quick.
It'll straight up show you.
Well, how do you deal with the people?
What?
No, wait, you live in Alpine? Is that
where
you
live? I live in Alpine.
Yo, let me tell you one thing. We shot Ratchet Turn Up Molly in Alpine. Yeah. That place is fucking gorgeous.
That's awesome.
You're like, you're gonna punch it up. You're like,
but Chris, they say they like you. They take a picture. They say one more thing, and then the next awkward.
Let me holler at you.
Or like, just yo. So what y'all doing tonight?
I keep it moving. I mean, I'm like, how old?
Shit, god damn, Chris, is where you live? Yo, Chris, you really laughing out loud? At how ill your house is?
Is this your crib?
No, that's not it.
Oh.
That's is that your crib in the Louis show? Is that really your house?
No. Okay. That's my house right there.
Damn, I gotta get a job.
Let me see.
I need a job.
How bananas? Let me see.
Downton Abbey.
Yeah,
it's like Downton Abbey.
There's an aerial view. This must be an aerial, right?
There must be an aerial of my house.
I
yo,
didn't even
fuck
know
you,
this.
Man.
What's an aerial view?
Yo.
Okay, that's it. That's like that's the house for the most part.
Jesus Christ.
Let me see.
Wait, how many bedrooms is
it? Oh my God!
Lord Brentford over here.
Wait a minute. How many bedrooms is it?
Yeah, that's it. Wow, that is.
You don't use most of that house. Let's be honest. You don't do much.
About eight and
How many bedrooms?
About eight.
So how much?
How many people are in the house?
Four or five.
Okay, and how much?
And how many family? I'm sorry.
No. How much of the house do you actually use? I need to know that. Be honest.
Not a lot.
What do you use?
I'll never buy that kind of house again.
You use the kitchen.
You had one. The
I'm
way
saying,
too big house.
No, oh, this house kind of, is way too big.
Yeah.
You use the kitchen. You have a TV room, I'm guessing you use.
Yeah.
Your bedroom.
Bedroom. Kids have a room. I got an office.
Strangers knocking on the door.
Wife's got an office. No, I got...
You can figure out what the equation is for really all you need, no matter how rich you get, right?
Yeah.
It's really like six rooms or so is really what you need.
No,
unless you have mad kids.
Mid-size is hard. It's even for, like, work. Like... We're not big enough to play 30,000, but we're kind of the Roots can sort of do 8,000 to 12,000. But there's not the 8,000, 12,000.
Doesn't really exist.
You're either at Madison Square Garden or Yankee Stadium or BB King's.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
do me a favor. Always do Best Buy Theater, not BB King's.
That's why you do multiple days or whatever.
Yeah, BB King's scares.
Yo, Quest. I went that Roots show was I left. I'm not gonna lie. I left before your set was over. I don't know if I've ever done the Roots show.
Which one?
The freebie. No disrespect. It was a sponsor. I don't want to say who the sponsor was. There was a sponsor who put on a
were
show.
Were you DJ'd before?
I DJ'd before.
Yeah, it was
and
late.
Everyone there was a. Fucking the kind of person who gets to go to these kind of shows and
oh,
doesn't
show,
give
oh,
a
yeah.
shit. Like, just the energy. And I could sense what
oh,
you
no,
guys...
I heard you got in trouble at that show.
I did?
Yeah.
Oh, because I started yelling at someone?
Yeah, you had like an argument with some people.
What did you hear, though? I never heard any brushback from it.
Really?
Yeah,
we'll talk about it later.
No, I don't... You can't help me now?
It's from
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Nah, that was some shit.
I never heard anything. Yeah. I'll tell the story right now.
I went in there.
What was that code for?
The sponsor we're talking about that we don't want to say. Yeah. So
I went in there. Yo, your boy.
What, just because I yelled at the dude in the crowd? Because I was on stage. I was on stage DJing, and I was playing Public Enemy. Some guy kept being like, Chuck D, what's up with Chuck D?
Oh, doing the Public Enemy.
During when I was having this thing with Chuck D.
Right.
So naturally, I had a microphone.
You had a thing with Chuck D?
Yeah, it's a long story. We don't want to waste time.
I remember, we squashed it, though.
I was at the
We squashed it.
The
World. We squashed it.
I'm at the World and Nation, what was it? Rebel Without a Pause just came out. And I'm at the World. It's me, Mike Tyson, Naomi Campbell, Melly Mel, and
she was hanging out
Scorpio.
Back then.
Well, yeah,
who this guy? Russell Peters.
Yeah,
sounds like Russell Peters' house on a weekend.
Yeah, Naomi Campbell used to be around all of this hip hop shit.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I sat next to her last night. I'm still a minion to her. Like she will say hi for nothing.
But every time they played Rebel Without a Pause, Melly Mel would go to the DJ booth and skip the record. He would like literally take it off. Like
why?
Because he thought Chuck was taking his style.
Oh, his style.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Right.
Yeah. Like he would literally get pissed.
Rebel Without a Pause.
That is my. And when we do our hip hop single of all time, this is that song from.
Yeah.
This is it.
This was the night I heard this. This changed my life. Like this was that moment. Oh. Wait, you had to remind yourself of this song?
No, I couldn't hear
oh,
it.
Oh, you don't have the headphones.
You know, I was actually playing
first
it.
First time I saw this song live, so first time I saw P.E., I was at the Garden. P.E. opened up for LL. LL came out the radio that night, and it's me and Mike Tyson before he's the champ.
Pre-champ Tyson?
Pre-champ Tyson.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm so jealous of the story already.
We're like,
did you have a girlfriend at the time? You just went to every rap show?
I went to every show, yeah.
Just because you liked it?
I loved it, and I was the rib man. I was poop. I could get into stuff, so yeah.
Oh, okay, so.
I was kind of addicted into the, oh shit, I can get into anything.
Right, at that time.
Yeah,
right.
That's, you know.
Were you ever a weed smoker or no? A
little bit.
Not much?
Enough to, you know, not slow up the party.
But you don't smoke by choice,
it's
really,
like,
particularly.
I've done crazy. Anything a fine girl was doing.
See, that's the one thing I told
really?
Scythe. That's the one
yo,
thing
that's
I...
That's really greatest, yo.
So she asked if you party, and you'd be like, yes.
Yes.
Yes, I've snorted coke because it's the Playboy Bunny, and you gotta snort coke.
Chris, I couldn't respect you more.
I have to slow up the party. That's the fucking best statement I ever heard. I made a t-shirt tomorrow.
Damn, man.
No, but you're the opposite.
I'm the killjoy.
Slow the party.
You're slow the party.
I slow the party.
Stop
kicking me. I'm a killjoy. Motherfuckers make fun of me because
you know what I figured out? I'm not an alcoholic, right?
So you're good.
So I'm like, I don't have an addictive personality. So I haven't smoked crack because a girl wanted me to smoke crack.
But
if we went in a time machine, and five joints were like,
I gotta do three bumps of heroin to fuck Naomi Campbell. I'm not gonna shoot it, but
I would have done it.
Oh God,
yo, it's so funny.
I love it.
I gotta tell you, I didn't drink or smoke my whole life, and I never became a big partier. But the biggest upside of starting to party is 100% that. That's what the best thing.
Because the thing, once it starts, nobody even notices you're not doing it.
Right.
You just got to be willing to be like, yeah, I'm
yeah, you just got to let them know you're not the feds.
No, I'm feds. I'm feds. Everyone knows I don't do shit.
That's why I'm a DJ.
Yeah.
And
I'm not the feds.
I'm the most wasted rock star person of all time. Like, yeah. I've never seen what it looks like.
What, coke? I've never
really?
Seen it. I've barely
no
seen
No one's
coke.
Ever come up to me and be like, hey, Questlove, try.
My friends would.
Form that sentence. Hey, Questlove, take.
You know, I'm older. My friends, you know, we're addicted but not just coke. Just every Friday's cutting up coke and lactose and literally baking crack.
All right, next time I see Naomi Campbell.
Literally baking
crack. You've seen them bake crack?
Yeah.
But it wasn't that bad back then.
What do you mean?
It was that bad back then.
No, it wasn't that bad. It was weird.
No, it got
selling
bad.
Crack was like Avon or something. Like it was like it wasn't like
it wasn't that bad.
It was
it's like
Molly
Brown.
Okay, like, yeah, just supplement your income. Okay.
What, you mean in the very early days, Syfe?
Yeah, before it was like... Before they called it crack.
Mary
it
Kay or, with pink cars.
Yeah, it was like everybody makes it into this gangster shit. It was literally like, you know.
Oh, man.
I was searching...
Like, it was Avon.
I was searching so hard, Syfe, for one song. Do you know what song?
No.
Oh, did I find it?
What? Something about crack?
Yeah. May crack like this.
Ghetto D?
At the first time I heard Ghetto D.
You know Ghetto D?
Yes. The first time I heard Ghetto D, I've never been more offended at hip hop. And then I ended up loving it. But at first I went, they took Eric B and Rakim, make them clap to this.
Oh, yeah. That's
and said,
horrible.
make crack like this. I was like, no. And then, like.
On the first Ghetto Boys record or?
No,
this
is Master P. Ghetto D by Master P.
Oh,
and then,
oh.
Like, a month later, I was like, this shit. It's pretty awesome.
Nah, you ever hear that this type of shit happens every day?
Of course.
By what's his name?
By
the guy that went to jail. Who?
Willie D?
No.
Murdered
Puffy's boy. Come on.
Puffy's boy who went to jail?
Who killed somebody?
G-Dep.
This type of shit happens every day. I was offended by it at first, and I was like, oh, okay.
This is amazing.
It's amazing.
Wait. So bad. It's so good.
So bad.
Yo, so we gotta mention we can't let this end without talking about CB4. I mean, that's a super important movie for in the life of a rap fan.
My favorite part of CB4 is in the old folks' home. Whose idea was it to do a ragtime version of Rapper's Delight?
Me.
I wrote this straight
out of Low Cash.
You did? Now you have writer's credits in these streets.
That's you and Daddy-O, right?
No, Daddy-O raps it. I wrote straight out of Low Cash.
He rapped it in the actual movie, the version that's used in the movie?
Yeah.
I reference CB4 in one way all the time. It comes up all the time. Syfe, do you remember this? That when we went to Young Jeezy, the first time I saw Jeezy, I was backstage with Syfe, and I'm looking around, and I was like, this place is like a fucking CB4 concert. Because everyone's like, so it's like they're playing. You can't believe it's that real.
Jeezy is like gangsterdom.
Yeah, it's gangsterdom in real life. And I couldn't fucking believe it. Did rappers just fucking love that movie? Did everyone get it?
Everybody got it. Everybody loved it. It's like one of those movies you play on a tour bus.
You'll get mad at me if I tell you I never saw CB4.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Sorry.
That's expected. I knew it was coming. In my head, I was like 3.
Pootie Tang?
2.
Pootie Tang, yeah. I love Pootie Tang. Okay. I love Pootie Tang.
All right, well, I'm going to be an
Do you have older brothers?
No.
That's it?
Yeah.
You never had the trickle-down economics
all my cousins are girls.
I get it.
Yeah.
Guys,
I have no trickle-down.
I'm not.
You know, I got into hip-hop when I moved to Long Island from the Bronx and just try to find something related.
So wait, how'd you get the arsonist?
Huh?
How did you get in the arsonist if...
When I worked at Fat Pete's, I was living in Long Island.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. We forgot about this, too.
Hey. Greatest hip-hop album of all time.
This is his Nation of Millions.
I think he has an argument to be made.
I can't hear it. What's happening?
Although,
was this one take?
No, this is... Kanye West is a genius. Yo, man.
Although you're dissing my friend on this, aren't you?
Kanye.
This is about Amber, isn't it?
Yeah.
How's she feel?
I have no idea. But
don't worry. I'm not gonna fight you.
No idea. I'm gonna say I was in the booth for about 2 hours.
Oh my God! I thought it was just like a one take.
No, man. He was just throwing shit at me and try this, try that, try this. Come out here. Let's listen to it.
So they
again.
Put it all together. They snapped and
he snapped it all together. Called me about 2 weeks later.
Cut and pasted all that.
So he just knew he liked your voice for it? Like, aesthetically, he just liked the idea of it?
He kind of just... Oh, man.
It sounds like a Chris Rock
It does. It works for you.
He just
That's something Chris Rock
me.
Would say.
He
we'll
just
call
kept
Chris
feeding
Rock.
Me with ideas, and I would just run with it. And
so you had no idea that you were just falling down the rabbit hole of not destroying someone's life. Well, okay, you two
she
are friends.
Out, she turned
out fine. What was their reaction to it?
I've never talked to her about that song specifically.
He doesn't.
It's
talk
a
about
great
anything.
Song. I don't see if it. I don't see.
I don't think she should spend
much. Specifically about.
I think.
Yeah, but it's like, it's a great song.
Right. I mean, that album.
I mean, it applies to. We've all had that relationship. Yeah. We could all.
But we were all listening to it like.
Yo,
the moment that shit came out, I was staring at the radio again, like War of the Worlds, like. We just stood with our mouths open like, yo.
See, but the thing is, I had already seen when that, by the time that happened, I'd already seen Kanye nearly weep on stage during 808s and Heartbreak over her. So, like, I get it. It's a relationship. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, people have, yeah, people have feelings. They broke up. Shit happens. But I did tell her because I knew that, you know, she's fine with him, but whatever. I said, I just want you to know you're my friend for life. I love you. I care about you. If I hear I'm so appalled, I'm going to get excited every time. I cannot stop. I can't pretend if I'm next to you. I'm not going to be able to be like, Kanye. I have to. I am going to get excited.
Oh, Sylvester.
Dark Twisted Fantasy is so
it's
fucking good.
It's the best record ever.
You think it's number one?
I think it's better than Thriller and Purple Rain.
This is his favorite album.
It's the
Dark Twisted Fantasy is your favorite album.
Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Not even a hip-hop record.
It's the best hip-hop record ever. It's the best album of the last 50
These
years.
Making a statement.
It's a strong statement.
I mean, it's an argument. What's your argument?
What's better?
What's your argument? Your evidence was everyone's on it.
Everyone's on it. It's got something for everybody, man. It's like an old time. It's like one of those old time records. Like one of those Quincy Jones records that got a little something for everybody, man. Jay's on it. Jay's amazing. Jay's better on that record than his last three albums. Okay?
I think it's a strong case, too.
You know, he just is. Nicki's better than anything she's done. Ross
you
is
like
ridiculous.
The Monsterverse? You like Jay's Monsterverse?
I like Jay's Monsterverse.
I'm asking a question.
No.
He's setting you up.
It's one of the rare times you see somebody actually do a better verse than Jay.
But
it's
that's
not
the thing.
It's not that you don't like Jay's Monsterverse. It's like, oh, shit.
But I love Nicki's verse.
Minaj.
I'm playing it now. It has to happen.
It's just ridiculous.
We have to talk about Scythe.
I was there.
Do you want to tell Chris Rock about your
feelings? I was there for
what?
That.
What?
I was there. I was there for the Dark Twisted Fantasy. I was there for Monster. I was
what,
around.
Recording?
I was just hanging.
In Hawaii?
No,
there
were
was
recording.
At Electric Ladyland.
Oh, this is okay, back here. Scythe, you have very strong feelings that we'll get to about the Monsterverse.
So appalled. It's better than everything.
I always want, when I play this song out, I always want people to react to it more, and they don't, but it's one of my favorite songs.
It doesn't matter. It's for the car.
It's for the car, you're right.
It's not for the club.
Wait a minute. I'm so appalled, maybe you can relate to this. Donald Trump taking dollars from
y'all. Baby, you're fired. It's so mean.
My one qualm, and I only understood this once I saw the Yeezus tour.
Best tour ever.
It's for me, what's frustrating about
it
is
I
have to take...
You are a Kanye stan. That is what's coming out here on this podcast.
I
that's,
like Kanye.
That's
I'm,
a headline.
I'm like, you know...
You have you added him to the... When I said J&M number one of all time, you added Kanye. You said, no, Kanye. Now you're saying
Kanye's
greatest album of all time.
Kanye's better than Eminem.
In terms of greatness.
I agree.
Kanye's better than Eminem.
But not as an MC, a lyrical MC.
So you're only thinking technically.
You're just thinking technically. You're thinking about a computer printout that you read.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm talking about...
The whole
I'm
thing.
In the club right now.
I agree.
And Kanye West and Eminem are getting ready to rap.
You're getting more excited for Kanye. 100% agree.
And your girl's getting more excited for Kanye.
No Eminem plays in the club, yo.
No Eminem plays in the club.
That's one of my regrets. I can never bump him in the club.
You can't. He doesn't have...
That has to be counted.
It does. I agree.
My frustration...
Eminem is in fucking incredible. Or what did you say earlier? Fucking incredible?
Yeah.
But he don't play in it. Like, that's a major element of hip-hop.
It is.
Three times in my life, I've had to pay for broken speakers. All at the hands of Kanye West. Right. I hate the way his bass mixes are inconsiderate
of your speakers.
All of the lights.
No. This is inconsiderate.
All the Lights is my least favorite song of the album by miles.
Because
but miles
production of All the Lights.
It's ridiculous.
You gotta come out of DJ mode. You gotta play the whole album in your car.
Yeah, no, I have.
Listening
I have,
mode.
I have.
You know what I'm it's and, a masterpiece.
But it's
but it frustrates me.
We listen to it as a radio single, and we get tired of
and
it.
And it got leaked, and so we played it on the radio. I was like,
right.
Eh.
But
and
you then, gotta take away all that, like a person buying an album. All the Lights sounds massive, yo, and what he's saying.
But I still think when I go through it, it's my least favorite one on an album that I love. I mean, this
Wait,
is like
as
choosing,
a great one-liner. MJ gone, our nigga
dead. I know, great line. But I don't like it more than Lost in the World. I don't like it more than Blame Game. I don't like it more than So Appalled. Dark Fantasy, the first song, is fucking just insanity. That the start of the fucking... The fact that the album starts with Nicki just talking, like, it's fucking... Top to bottom, that album, you can make a case, it's right there.
It's...
Does Jay have a better album than Dark Twisted Fantasy?
No.
Reasonable Doubt's more boring than Dark Twisted Fantasy. I love it.
Albums. Here's the thing,
Jay's got better rhymes, yeah.
Right, but not better complete albums, the whole thing.
No.
I will never disconnect.
Underrated J album?
I won't disconnect Blueprint from 911, and it's just that because that's all I had on 911. Like 911 went down, and then we were trapped in New York.
By the way, you know, you're the only person on Earth who calls 911 911,
bro.
Underrated J
it's
album.
Called 9/11, bro.
American
me,
Gangster,
bro.
From Philly over here.
We're gonna help.
Yeah,
you out.
On 9/11, when I was like, I have specific memories of. That's why Blueprint is a sentimental favorite. Right. So
yeah, of course.
You know, I don't have sentimental memories with Dark Twisted Fantasy, even though I acknowledge that is Kanye West.
What was it? What were you saying? The underrated Jay-Z album.
American Gangster is the most Woo! Underrated Jay-Z album.
I love American Gangster. You love it, right?
No.
Hate it.
I don't hate it. But
Jay-Z always says, I don't write nothing. He always says, I come up with it in my head.
Yeah.
It's bullshit. He wrote Reasonable Doubt, and he wrote American Gangster. Like,
it's a theme. There's
like,
a theme.
Like pieces of paper were crumbled up, and I'm going back, and we're trying this again.
So you feel American Gangster is Jay-Z's Gangster most underrated rhymes. Album?
Rhymes are just ridiculous.
The beats, are, to me, are a little, eh.
I love this one.
It's the most underrated Jay-Z record.
I need beats first.
I love that Just Blaze beat that closes the record. The Just
I'm sorry.
The very last song on American Gang. Oh, American Gang. The title track.
Oh, the one with Nas. What's that one?
Oh.
Which one is the one with Nas?
That
Black Republic.
Yeah, I think Flex put like 27 bombs on this when I heard.
Oh, I hate this song.
Why?
Let that breathe. Let the bitch breathe.
This don't make you just want to murder a chicken.
I'll say something that people want to hear. The Jay-Z and Nas collaborations are some of the biggest letdowns in hip-hop history.
Black Republican?
I don't like Black Republican.
I've never heard it.
You never heard
Black
it?
Republican?
I knew it was going to let me down. Play it.
You know what? It's
Black
not a role.
Republican is the shit.
It just ain't as good as...
Is it a quote? Is there one quotable?
Let that bitch breathe.
Is there a quotable? Is there props as a True Thug's wife?
I don't think there...
Is there one quotable in it?
Give it a chance, Quest. You can't just shake your head right away.
Yeah, that's perfect.
No, it's not.
The beat's eh.
I love this beat.
You love this beat?
I don't
love
it. I don't know what you...
You go sit in the corner.
Your opinion don't affect me.
Make a nigga mad and shit like... Niggas usually just start rapping after four bars, nigga, go in. Just start dancing this motherfucker.
Update, I just want everyone to know that you are at this point like a minute into the song.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it takes bad low stuff.
Yeah, you just come out of
58
nowhere.
Seconds.
I feel like a Black Republic money I got coming in. Can't turn my back on the hood, I got love for them. Can't clean my act good, too much thugging them. Probably in the back in the hood, like fuck it then. Huddling over the oven, we was like brothers then. What? Though you was nothing other than the son of my mother's friend. We had covering, who would've thought the love would end? Like ice cold album, all good things. Never thought we'd sing the same song that all hoods sing. Thought it was all wood grain. All good brain, we wouldn't bicker like the other fools on good games.
Thoughts, Quest? Your first time hearing Black Republicans?
That's cool. I mean, I never give judgment on anything that, you know, and me saying I haven't heard it.
I like this better, Syph. Is that weird to you?
It's better.
I like this better. What's that? The new one they did.
I liked it if it weren't. But Pharrell did this beat for.
Oh, yeah. I like that beat.
I don't know, I liked it. But I just think Nas and Jay-Z don't belong on the same songs for some reason.
No, if Nas was on Coming of Age on Reasonable Doubt, I think that would have been a masterpiece.
That would have sounded good.
That
would have
been a masterpiece. And I'm not saying too little, too late, but you know.
Wait a minute, but Nas was before Jay.
No, they could have done it, though. They were both there. They were around.
Yes, but, you know.
Jay got featured. He got his big feature.
96, Nas should have been on Coming of Age. No offense to Memphis Bleek.
I think Memphis could handle that critique. Nas is pretty strong.
I would have loved Nas and Jay on.
Our favorite Nas album that's not Illmatic.
Oh, come on.
The double album.
Streets Disciple?
God's Stepson by Ninth Wonder.
God's Stepson is pretty cool.
By Ninth Wonder. Street I listened Disciple. To that. I listened really to that good. As an actual Nas record. I don't even have the original.
And Stillmatic.
Stillmatic is awesome.
Stillmatic is awesome.
Stillmatic is very good.
You know what? They're,
Second childhood.
There are six. Oh, beep, beep. So, boom, boom. I feel like this is Premier's last great loop. When I wrote
for the street, who else could it be?
On the low, on the low, maybe my second favorite.
Peebo Bryson.
That sample?
Peebo Bryson sample.
I love this. Sorry.
You like Stillmatic? Oh.
You know the intro. I still run with
that blood of a slave. Stacy Lattisaw. Boiling in my
veins. But this part makes no sense. Listen. It's just hot until I can't take it no more. Blood of a slave, heart of a king. No, it's supposed to be blood of a king, heart of a slave.
You can't tell what it's supposed to be.
There's an edit in there anyway. So he said some other.
So there's something
crazy
else.
Crazy shit that maybe they could even use.
No,
you,
but
if you listen hard, there's an edit.
But slaves have heart. Kings have the bloodline, supposedly. That's like what makes
but
sense.
But he's saying the black people were slaves.
Heart of a king. That's true.
You remember that part?
Well, that black people were slaves? Slavery? No, I remember slavery really well.
Well, Wednesday.
Yo, today on the show, we were talking and I said... We're talking about collard greens, and somehow I mentioned something about, I was saying slavery. I said, but when black people were slaves, they gave you the shit food, and you were like, all right, collard greens is pretty good. Jews were like, we'd rather not eat. When I even started to even make the statement, Shawnee heard me just say slaves, and he was like, hold on. I was like, other people are about to mention slavery. Jews were slaves. It was a long time ago, granted. There's no Jewish slave food. 40 years, Jews are like, ugh, it's disgusting. We're not even touching this. What else? Is there anything that you're going to be remiss that we didn't cover with this guy, Chris Rock? I mean, I could sit here and listen to the guy talk hip-hop for all day, but...
I haven't, you know... It's been all... I haven't got into no comedy.
Do you want
shit.
A comedy question before...
Yeah,
sure.
Go ahead,
whatever you want to
know. Just Cypher and Chris.
He's one of the greatest of all time.
I need a comedy podcast. The movie's about a comedian, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's not going to... No.
Sife, don't
start. Sife,
I don't have one specific question. I have a long.
Just say,
just
how
start.
Can I be you? How can I be?
How
you?
Do I? How can I be you? I know I'm old. I'm way older. No, I hate that I'm old. But like me and your brother hang out. You know what I'm saying?
I got a lot of brothers.
Jordan, the little guy.
Wow. Wait, there's like more than one comedian in the family?
I have two comedian brothers. Yeah.
Jordan Rock.
Yeah, my family looks at comedy like it's a factory. Like, oh, I hear they're hiring down there.
go down there.
How does he not know Jordan?
It's easy.
I just knew Tony.
No,
I
but
mean,
Jordan is like OF, like underground nutcase.
Is he ever the where does he work out at?
Everywhere. He's everywhere. The cellar. I mean, not
is
the cellar.
Is he ever at the cellar?
Not the cellar.
See?
They all hang out at the cellar, but everybody doesn't go on at the cellar.
All right, tell me that.
All the comedians hang
How
out
How do I get on at the cellar, Chris Rock?
Man, you got to talk to Esty.
Right. But it's not that. What's all this shit about referrals and TV credits?
Yeah,
and...
but not. How many people down there got TV credits?
Will me being on the radio help?
Yeah, totally. But you still got to, like...
That's not a nepotism move?
I don't... Listen, get me on stage. I promise you I'll be back. It's getting on the stage that first time that seems to be hard.
Right.
I promise you I'll be back.
Where do you normally work out at?
Lately I've been at the Stand a lot. And Stand Up
How's
New
that
York.
Going?
Awesome. It's a fucking great
you
room.
Like the Stand?
It's like the
He's legit. Like he's lower, not just like, you
it's
know.
It's the newer seller. Like there's a lot of comedians that treat the Stand like how you old fucks treat the the seller.
I respect the Stand.
But I'm an old fucking age, but I'm a young comedian.
Get my assistance number from
God, okay. Just happened.
Yeah. Well, you gave your assistant number directly to Mint Condition. I can't get it directly from you.
Yeah, I mean, what did he say from him? I don't trust you to remember it.
You did two layers? He was like, talk to Questlove, get my assistant's number.
I gave it to their assistant.
I have also, I have to ask you one. You know what? If I was going to ask you about gossip, the thing I would have wanted was a Cosby quote, but your brother's in the news today. Did you see that?
Your brother's spat.
I don't got no. Hey, it's my brother, so I got to take my brother's back.
There's another one.
I don't.
Yeah, Tony.
I don't.
Talking about Tony, right?
I don't condone. You know, anybody's. you know, we all got personal feelings about all sorts. Once people talk about getting married, I kind of like give them that respect.
You bail out on that.
I kind of
did. You tell them that? Were you like,
yeah, I actually did kind of. I texted him the other day. So
you're like, heads up, you might want to chill on when someone's like, getting married to someone.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like my brother. If I see them fighting, I might have to hit bow out with a bottle. But but honestly,
you told him you probably did. You went right across the line.
But yeah, but I did. I definitely told my brother, like, hey man.
Now what about
that's not cool?
What was it? A tweet?
It was that's a tweet. Cool. It was a tweet. And it was a funny line, by the way.
Yeah, I don't even know. I don't know.
The person.
I don't even know the person. I'm just like, when people, I don't care if you get ready to marry a porno star.
And you,
you, like, when you introduce somebody as your fiance or your wife.
You leave it alone.
Hey, how are you? Glad to finally meet you.
Right, right. That's like, it. No,
that's it.
No mentioning of other things.
Yeah, if we had
there's
something.
There's no win. There's no win.
There's no win.
Because other people are looking at you like, why are you talking about his fiance, man? Yeah, maybe they have something special. There's no win. Like,
there's no win.
No, I agree.
So
what about.
Yeah, I love my brother. My brother's funny.
He's funny as shit. I like Tony. He's a great dude.
He's a great dude.
Sherrod Small, your cousin.
Yeah.
And I didn't actually ever believe Sherrod.
Black people,
black people,
black people, cousin.
They're not really related.
Grew up on the same block.
Grew up on the same block, and he's in the movie for a second. By the way, Sherrod's the only guy. Remember, I said everyone gets a legitimate feature. Everyone but Sherrod.
John is not even in it.
Yo,
right?
When I hit Sherrod, I was like, "Yo, Sherrod, I saw you." He was like, "He kept me in the movie." That's what Sherrod said. Oh god. Sherrod's a funny dude, man.
Sherrod's funny.
I told him, by the way, I said, if you want me to tell, I told him that I said he's, you know, he lives with his girlfriend, and I said she's Jewish, and I said, please slide her my phone number, and if she needs help getting out of your apartment and getting into a Jewish safe house, I can help her free her. I have connections in that world. So the movie is December 12th. And you seem very. Ooh. You're doing a lot of press for this. You're going hard for this. This
you
is.
Gotta go hard.
Excuse me.
What size?
It's a masterpiece.
Can you ask Chris Rock, your friend, if to promote his movie, he would like to do my improv show at the UCB Theater?
Oh, man. Oh, shit.
Come on.
You actually want to do this?
Maybe.
Yeah, I love Chris Rock.
Yeah, it's a thing.
It's a
very
strong answer. He might. He might.
He might.
Not.
Like,
I'll explain to you in private. I won't put you on the spot. I did it.
Well, you did it like.
Well, it's the thing where you tell a story and they act it out. UCB. He's legit. UCB co-signs.
Not the other UCB where I heard you walked out on the other day.
That happened?
Yeah.
You walked out on UCB?
Right.
And I was getting my SNL monologue together.
Are you on this week?
No.
Two weeks ago.
Are you already on?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Fuck.
I love the Rock. Sorry, the SNL. Rock you live under.
Sorry, sorry, SNL. It's not called The Rock. It's called The Rock the Rest of America Lives On that SNL's on the other side of now.
No. Damn. Me and Prince did it. But
fuck. SNL. Oh, I did. You know what? Now that's even more.
Sorry.
I did hear you and Prince.
I'm sorry. Dilla's never produced Prince, so.
All right, fuck off, man.
Track 9, nigga.
Wait, so you were working out for SNL? You went
I was getting my SNL set together, and they just wouldn't stop with the cameras. I was like, no.
Oh, that one you definitely can't tape.
Right.
I thought the general rule was you're not supposed to.
Yeah,
he's a superstar.
You know, they don't have adequate security in UCB.
And also UCB, that show he did on a Monday is a lot of non-UCB customers.
Okay.
So they don't have the respect like a tourist UCB and kids would.
Yeah, so. Okay. I was like, I knew I couldn't let that material out.
Right, that's not something that could fly because that's going to be on TV.
Yeah.
In a week.
So. I was really desperately trying to find my my full drops list. Because I definitely have a Chris Rock drop from from back in the day. I met you.
Like he's gotta go get his kids.
Old Howard Stern drops.
This is way worse. Mine was with a mini tape recorder when you were doing an interview at NPR in DC.
Wow.
You had just walked down the studio. My friend's mom worked there, and he's like, "Do you want to come meet Chris Rock?" So I waited there and I listened to your NPR interview, and then you got out. And you know what, Chris Rock, one take on the drop. He was
you could tell.
97. You were already in full drop form by then.
97.
You'd already done mad drops.
Right after Bring the Pain, getting ready to do Bigger and Blacker.
Yeah, you were on. Have you ever had the situation happen where someone asks you for a drop and you know it cannot be audibly recorded right now? Meaning like you're at a club and there was a guy recently holding
all the time.
A video.
Those are the people I walk away from.
You will walk away from that. Yo, Chris, thank you for doing this.
Well, thanks for having me.
Chris Rock, thank you.
If people don't tell you enough, you rep hip-hop very well.
Thank you, sir.
And the movie is out December 12th. It's called Top 5. It's absolutely fantastic. I strongly recommend it. Questlove, thanks for doing this, dude.
Hey, man. This is my favorite podcast ever.
Your co-signs
This and the Champs. Next, I want to see you and the Champs on a face off.
Well, you know what? Neil finally agreed to have me on the show. He first told me because I was white, I couldn't come on a show. And then he heard my NPR feature, and he was like, "You know what? Your story's kind of interesting.
Cross promotion.
I'll skip the white rule for you."
I love that Neil can, you know,
determine what black and white
is.
Well,
I want to have. Believe me. No, I definitely want to have a long talk with Neil about his supposed N-word pass as a white guy who's never used the N-word. I want to have that conversation.
Does he really have it?
I don't know.
I've never given an N-word. I will admit, though, when we were doing the Nigger Family for Chappelle's show, he would
say it all the time.
Reference a lot.
Yo, it's in his special, though. He dropped it in his special, though. Yeah, like five times.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm not going to attack the guy. I just want to have an interesting.
But, like, when we were shooting it, and then he says, "Okay, so here are my tips for the Nigger Family. Okay. Tell her she needs to pronounce it nigger, not nigar." I said, "Yeah, but you know the teleprompter says no." It was
I
very
just want
specific.
To specify the ER. It's very important.
Yeah, just that whole month, Neil Brennan was just like, just on a field day with
having the N word.
Just
Chris. And last question: any comedian that you most love right now that's new that you think everyone should be checking out besides Cypher Sounds?
I like Hannibal. I like what's the kid that just did the special
For HBO?
Gerard Carmichael.
Yeah.
Gerard Carmichael.
Fantastic kid.
Yeah, Amy Schumer's funny.
Hey, Chris, you're the best. December 12th, top five. Thank you.
Thank you.
Quest?
Yes, sir.
Get us Kid Rock.
All right.
We only want people named Rock. Chris Rock and Kid Rock.
I'm on it.
We want Kid Rock?
I want Kid Rock. I want his old Detroit
hip-hop crazy BDP stories.
Bronx. Oh, the DMC stories.
From
DMC was like living in his house for a while. Woo!